mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is November 10th. 2008 on this Monday edition. I'm glad that you have joined us. We're going to have wide open phones for the full 4 hours today. I do have Dr. Jerome Corsi joining us. Post-election, he wrote the Abomination book. The media didn't really attack him on any of his facts, but went after him via character assassination. And I don't necessarily agree with the Dr. Corsi on a lot of things. But his criticism of Barack Obama is very important, and he is our president now. The big grand distraction from what the real government is doing in the background. So we'll look at now going forward what Dr. Corsi will do to try to counter Barack H. Obama. And, what the wars were like for him in the last 6 months since his book came out with the mainstream media. Last time we ran into Corsi was outside the big hotel where all the politicians were staying in Denver. Then, after Dr. Corsi joins us for 30 minutes, Professor Michelle Chasadosky will be joining us. She's got an important article out detailing who exactly is behind the economic collapse and how it is engineered and being carried out to bring in a new world order. Now, we told you that the international banks were going to create a worldwide financial implosion of credit and then offer the solution being a world government run for and by the central banks. I saw that in 5 different mainstream headlines this morning, and I didn't do as much preparation today as I normally do because I've been under the weather somewhat. So I'm not even looking for this, and it's in my face. It's just everywhere. I mean, here is the London Telegraph today, second biggest paper in England. Gordon Brown calls for New World Order to beat recession. Let the banks totally take over everything. They already basically have control of everything, but give them open governmental power worldwide. That's what they say there. Meanwhile, yuppies are still snickering and laughing about world government, the New World Order. Folks, you've already been taken to the cleaners. You've already been irrevocably robbed. I suggest you stop being arrogant about it and stop denying the position we're all in together and that we try to really turn things around. We don't have time to be in a 4 or 8 year love fest with Barack Obama. We don't have time to believe fairy tales that he actually runs something or that he has different policies than other puppets before him. We've got to grow up and address the military-industrial complex that is doing whatever it wants in our society, which is looting and stealing and expanding a police state to protect themselves, from the crimes they've committed. That's what a tyranny is about. Also, later in the show, probably in the fourth hour, so I can show it on the document cam for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers when we go live in the fourth hour, I was over at my parents' last night for dinner, and back on the back porch, that's where they've got their cockatoo. So it was literally waiting to be birdcage liner. There were 2 Austin American statesmen sitting there. And just looking at 2 papers sitting there, I saw editorial cartoons that were almost identical to the editorial cartoon I saw in Newsweek magazine this week. And then so this morning, I got this morning's paper here in Austin. There were a couple more of the same cartoons. And then I went online briefly and found hundreds of them, again, showing unified brainwashing. And I'll tell you what that unified brainwashing is when we get back, but in the fourth hour, and I'm going to show you on the document cam exactly what I'm talking about. This is literally the tip of the iceberg. So I want everybody to send these in to me so I can use them in an upcoming film.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
First-time callers, if you volunteer that you're a first-time caller, you will go to the head of the line, 1-800-259-9231. And if you disagree with me, you go to the head of the line, 1-800-259-9231. Well, the Pentagon and foreign governments are saying that Osama bin Laden is going to pop up and that we're going to have an al-Qaeda attack sometime in between the transition in the next 2.5 months or after the transition to test our new leader. This is just like clockwork. This is meant to sell the public on the idea that A, the president actually runs something, and that B, al-Qaeda is real and is threatening us, and that's why the government's stealing all of our money and looting the pension funds and trying to force inoculations on us and surveilling us and feeding on us. It's not because we've got total criminals that have overtaken us that are just raping the daylights out of us financially and culturally. It's not that they need a smokescreen to set up their control grid to fully rob us and to take the velvet glove off of the iron fist. It's because Al-Qaeda is out there and the government cares so much about you to keep you safe from them. That's why they're taking all your liberties, so that Al-Qaeda won't want to attack anymore, because the terrorists attack because they hate our freedom. But I have never seen such hype, and except for right before 9/11, where they're just saying, we're going to get hit, we're going to get hit, and then, oh, Al-Qaeda hit. The American flags will go back out on all the front porches, and whatever Obama says, we do. I may be a good old boy, and I didn't like him because he was black, but he got tough after Al-Qaeda hit us. I do believe we need to nuke Iran. They're behind it. But wait, they're Shiites and those are Sunnis. Shut up, Al-Qaeda boy. Anybody that questions Obama is an Al-Qaeda. There is no end to it. 1-800-259-9231. Warning of new bin Laden attack. Osama bin Laden is planning an attack against the United States that will outdo by far September 11th, an Arab newspaper in London has reported. Of course, it turns out most of your major newspapers, not some, most, are funded hundreds of millions of dollars a year to put out pro-West brainwashing. You can just Google that and it's not even hidden. Bin Laden planning U.S. attack. Goal to undo September 11th. To outdo it, Al-Qaeda reinforces training camps. Oh, you see, they're depoliticizing things now with George Bush. See, oh, it was all George Bush. It was for torture and secret arrest and falsifying weapons reports. And it was George Bush that did all those things. But now that Obama is coming to the fore, why, Al-Qaeda is right back out there again. They want more countries in the Middle East and Central Asia invaded and dominated and crushed. And so that's what the Arabs want. They want to strike the U.S. so the U.S. can come blow them to bits. That's just exactly what real Arabs and real Muslims want. That's the complete opposite, but doesn't matter. It's a good narrative for a population that can't find Iraq and Iran on a map. They think it's Australia. And see, suddenly none of it matters. Suddenly it doesn't matter if all the warrantless wiretapping stays in place or the Pentagon's announcing local police are going to use the spy satellites to watch the American people. Or it doesn't matter if the Pentagon's running the face scanning and license plate reading cameras. Or it doesn't matter if they're banning protests and demonstrations all over the country. It doesn't matter if Barack Obama voted for all of that. Because the media is just not going to talk about it anymore and make it a political issue. That then automatically cements it all. Patriot Act, what Patriot Act? Iraq War, what Iraq War? The troops are going to stay there. Barack Obama now is admitting that. Basically, they're never leaving. They're just going to rotate a larger force into Pakistan and other countries. But a large force will stay there basically forever, just like Germany or South Korea. And now it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We've got change. The only change is we're not worried anymore about it because it isn't evil George Bush doing it, the puppet. It's a new puppet. So to finish up my story, I am out on the back porch area where the washing machines are and the bird cage with the cockatoo in it when it's not in the house, walking around chewing on furniture. I'm visiting my parents last night and look down and I see an editorial in the Sunday Statesman. It's actually a whole page of editorials, each one basically the same, saying that Barack Obama is a savior and that Barack Obama is going to fix everything under the sun. So I started flipping through the newspapers and noticed that it wasn't just the editorial cartoons, it was the headlines themselves. And I knew they were calling him the one, the savior, the one to change the world, the chosen one, the one foretold. But I opened up a Newsweek in my parents' house yesterday, and it's got the same type of editorial. I know you're seeing these everywhere. And it's Obama sitting behind the Oval Office desk. And he's sitting behind the Oval Office desk, and it says U.S. Constitution, we the people, and it's been torn up in about 50 pieces, but he's putting the last piece with tape back together again. And then in the Statesman yesterday, they had a whole page of these similar cartoons, and then this morning, this is just my local paper, it's the same thing. It's Barack Obama comes up into the attic, and he opens it up. This is White House attic, and he says, hey, cool old stuff. And it says, fragile government, of the people, by the people, for the people. And he's looking at it saying, hey, cool old stuff. Like, he's cool. Now, this is form over substance. Barack Obama is racing ahead. We're now getting more of his concrete policies on his website, his transition site, change.gov, and the people he's appointing. And I mean, ladies and gentlemen, it is corporate looting from one end to the other. It is fascism. It is secret police, gun control, open borders, end of sovereignty, bigger trade deals, more NAFTA and GATT, expansions of the NAU. And you've got the public. This is South Park that aired a few nights ago after the election. I'm going to air a couple minutes of this, and this isn't even a joke, though. I watched part of the South Park episode this morning, and it wasn't even a joke. And in the episode, McCain and Obama are really working behind the scenes just to rob the American people. They want to steal the Hope Diamond, but it's an analogy or a parallel, kind of a parable of they're really working for a secret establishment and really are using the election as a diversion to rob you. And, you know, the South Park guys, they like people knowing on the inside that they're fully aware of everything that's happening and going on. So, this isn't even a joke. This little fictitious piece, you know, where they describe the way Obama supporters are acting, this is how they're really acting, and they have no idea. I feel so sorry for them. I mean, I see them on TV. I see them on the street. The people are walking around in a daze with smiles like they're zombies, just totally loving towards everyone. Oh, my God, everything's wonderful. I mean, I've got all these YouTube clips. We played some last week. Maybe I should dig them back out and play them again, where they're saying, I'm never going to have a problem again in my life. I never have to worry about my bills, gas, insurance. It's my life is saved. Meanwhile, Obama is going to completely betray them. But see, when somebody's dedicated to being a sucker, they will go along with almost anything. I know you're beating me. I know you're hurting me, but it's for good purposes, I guess. They are going to get so much done with Obama, ladies and gentlemen. See, the government was stalling. It was discredited. People were waking up. But now we'll have to get suckered because, well, he's black and he's cool and the media says he's slick and he wants to fix the Bill of Rights. And see, for the weak-minded, they don't know what the Bill of Rights is, what the Constitution is. They don't know what their rights are. They don't know how the system really works or admiralty law. So they just hear, oh, he fixed it. My Bill of Rights isn't in trouble anymore. Meanwhile, he's racing ahead to kill it. Let's go ahead and play part of this clip.
Yeah! Obama! Woo! We did it! We effing did it!
It's been a long time coming, but tonight, because of what we did on this date, in this election, at this defining moment, change has come to America.
Yeah! Yeah, Obama! Change! It's change!
Sasha and Malia, I love you both more than you can imagine. And you have earned the new puppy that's coming with us to the White House. We will name him Sparkles.
He's so awesome! He's so perfect and awesome!
Where we are met with cynicism and doubt and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can!
Yes, we can! Yes, I can! Yes, I can! Here comes the change, everybody! Woo!
Did you see? Our man is in!
We did it!
Everything is going to be awesome now! This is the greatest day of our lives! Yes, we can!
I don't even know what to do now!
I know what to do!
Glad that you joined us today. Your calls are coming up immediately upon entering the next segment. The Dr. Jerome Quartzy joins us. And Professor Michael Chosadowski. Continuing with open phones throughout the broadcast today.
If I made a pass at you, or would you say that we were through? Oh, you.
I mean, I have the cover of the Austin Chronicle here, and it says, fun, 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 post-election cuddling begins on page 24. And then the Chronicle had cartoons with Obama saving the Bill of Rights and Constitution and images of people crying in Valhalla, embracing everyone, all of this great love, all of this great racial love, black folks saying, oh, I guess America isn't really racist. Well, that's right. The majority of white people in the United States are the opposite of racist and tribal. They hate themselves. They believe they're evil. They worship anyone who's not white and think it's very trendy. They hate their own group. Go around buying into anything that they think makes them atone for that, whether it's global carbon taxes or you name it. And so they will never, it doesn't matter what Barack Obama does, and they don't want to admit they're wrong. They don't want to admit they've been conned or taken for a ride. He could do anything, just like George Bush could do almost anything. Gun control, open borders, triple the size of government, gay porn stars in the White House every day for nighttime visits. You know, gay madams, hordes of sex teams coming in. You tell a neocon that, you can pull up mainstream articles. They go, isn't true, liberal lies. My point is, Barack Obama could do anything because the way he's been framed, it's a new religion. Just like with global warming, they've now proven it's the sun. They've now proven carbon dioxide is good for the earth at even 10 times its current level, good for plants. So they go, okay, it's now climate change, and the earth's climate can never change, and if there's any change, it's bad. course, change is the only constant. They're not going to admit they were wrong or conned. That's why the Club of Rome and the CFR and UN came up with this in the 60s, climate change. And they said, whether it's cold or hot, we'll say either way, it's caused by carbon dioxide, and that lets us regulate and tax every facet of life. This is a great control mechanism. And they publicly laugh that it's not about the environment. But you've got a bunch of suckers who they're not into really knowing what goes on in the world. They're not into being empowered. They'd rather just live in a virtual reality where they just make it up and go protest the local airport saying, ban all aircraft, no one should be allowed to fly, back to the Stone Age, a plane, when you ride on a plane, it causes more damage than your entire carbon footprint all year. Well, we'll just pay an indulgence tax, kind of like people would go to the Catholic Church and say, well, I cheated on my wife. Oh, well, that's okay. Just buy these indulgences. Pay us 1,000 talons in gold, and you'll be. And there's people all over Austin where I live driving around with carbon indulgences. Then you just go to some scam artist company, and they say, well, we then go plant trees to offset your carbon footprint. And then, of course, the scammer running it keeps most of the money. And by the way, a tree does breathe carbon dioxide and does offset it. But then the real hardcore global warming fanatics, they say, well, we got to go ahead and cut down all the trees because when they die, they offload even more carbon. It's idiocy. And it's the same thing with Barack Obama. You've got people now for trendiness or whatever reasons. This has been framed in the media that this is the end of all problems. This is the end of problems on Earth. He is the leader. But then, of course, things aren't going to get better. They're going to get worse, and that's going to be because you didn't go along with the leader. And then as anyone criticizes the one, the leader, it'll be because they're not trendy. They're backwards. They're mindless. They're horrible. And if you point out, hey, he's for the whole police state. You know, you notice the whole police state that went in under Bush, he didn't do any of it. He's a puppet. It's just expanding under Obama. Obama's not lifting one finger to slow it down. But see, they don't care. They'll show, like children, cartoons in the newspapers and TV saying he fixed it. He glued it back together, and the childlike mind goes, oh, he fixed it. There's still FEMA camps and cops in black ski masks and the phony drug war, but that's okay. All right, go into your phone calls at 1-800-259-9231. We'll have open phones. Of course, he's on as well, and Professor Josh Sadowski. Things are shaping up so bad, it's even hard for me to consciously accept what I'm witnessing unfold. It really is. It's real simple. As things get worse and worse, you're going to have the Obama-oid Kool-Aid drinkers get more and more disillusioned. And those that break ranks will be ostracized, will be excommunicated, and conservatives are going to be attacking Obama for all the wrong reasons, playing into the left-right paradigm. And then meanwhile, the whole agenda just continues. I cannot state clearly enough that Obama is a giant distraction and diversion. And I know I said that about Bush, but even more so with Barack Obama. I mean, everything is about him running the show and what is he going to do and what are his policies going to be. We know what his policies are. Hand everything over to the globalists, help set up world government, help kill the dollar, and launch a bunch of new wars, then continue the police state. But the childlike mind of the American people has editorial cartoons in every newspaper, in every magazine. I mean, I was picking up Time, Newsweek, just because I don't take all these magazines and publications, and my parents do. And I was flipping them open, and it was the same thing, the same message in unison. He's going to fix the Constitution. He's going to fix the Bill of Rights. He's going to bring accountability to government back. Meanwhile, he's bringing in the exact same guard, the old guard that looted and robbed and set up the banking scam. He's the guy that helped bullwhip the Congress into passing the banker takeover bill. And now they can do whatever they want. That's in the bill. Every week we hear, oh, they're going to get hundreds of billions more and give them to bankers. And then you'll hear the news go, well, there are some controls on what the CEOs can get. And it says, yes, you know, the CEO can only have a $500 million bonus off this money. And yes, the shareholders can only have, you know, this much of the money. I mean, it is just absolute fraud. And I know you know that, and I said I'd go to your calls. It's just to witness the public thinking that they're about to get good change when they're about to get bad change, it's daunting to say the least. I have a lot of other news here as well on the economic front, but we'll get to that later. Let's go to calls right now. Michael in Kentucky, first-time caller. You're on the air. Welcome.
Alex.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good.
Good. Got through right on. Boy, have I got a story for you. 3 months ago, I applied for an entry-level position with the FBI, right?
Yes.
Okay, a month and a half ago, I went through all the tests. I had to do a background check, a credit history, a physical, then a psychiatric evaluation, where they try to make you think you're crazy, even though you know you're not, but maybe you think you are. But anyway, passed all that. I got a letter 2 weeks ago saying congratulations, I had met all the criteria. You know, they was looking forward to working with me and helping keep America and the world safe. Well, I thought, well, all right, I'm looking forward to it too. Well, day before yesterday, two black Lincolns pull up in my driveway. I'm thinking, boy, they got the wrong house. Well, they get out, two nicely dressed men, one woman, and one of the drivers was sitting in another car. Come up, knock on my door. I open the door thinking, what do they want? Well, he says, is this a residence of, and said my name. I said, maybe. They was like, once again, is this a residence? I thought, well, maybe it's a stereo. Yes, it is. And they said, we have information for you. Would you please open it to see if you understand it right here in front of us? I said, okay. Well, I opened it up, and it said, dear Michael, it said, we are sorry. We regret to inform you that you are no longer eligible for any entry level or any other positions within the federal government. And I thought, why? And it said, any questions you may have, you may call this 800 number and speak to a representative about it. So I asked the Secret Service or whoever they was that pulled up in my driveway, what was this all about? They were like, do you understand the procedure you need to take now to find out the information you need to know? I was like, well, do I call this number? They're like, okay, good. They turn around and they leave. Well, I thought, what's going on? So I call 800 number, and get this. The reason why I am not eligible for any kind of job in the federal government is because I am an avid listener of the Alex Jones Show through the internet connections. No joke. And I said, you gotta be kidding me. Are you kidding me? And no, seriously, I was turned down after I passed everything.
Well, they even told you, but see, again, they're not supposed to be watching where everybody goes and what they do, but everything. It's all NSA. The phone companies are the NSA. Everything's surveilled. Everything's watched. It's all, every time they do that, that's a felony. They should go to prison for that. But see, they retroactively went and had them pass the FISA law. But still, that doesn't cover what they're doing there. So I'd like you to send me all that material, sir. We'll black your name out, but I'd like to have you on as a guest. I'd like to.
Sure.
But I mean, specifically, they said, because you are now. Did you ask? Well, how do you know I'm an Alex Jones listener?
Oh, I asked everything, and they just told me exactly what they were either supposed to or wanted me to know.
Well, or what did they say? They
just,
so they told you because you listen to the Alex Jones Show.
Exactly. And I was like, oh, so you know what? There's a good thing in all things, so that's got a fire started in me. That's got me ready to tell the world everything I've learned from you, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate you, and ain't no government on this planet going to stop me from listening to you and getting the truth out to the people who need to know it.
Well, I mean, and it just shows how far. Listen, do me a favor. Will you mail me a copy of the letter they gave you?
I absolutely will.
Okay,
I absolutely will.
Well, do you know our address?
Yes, I do. I got all your information.
Okay, well, specifically, talking to you, Michael, you're on the phone with them. I mean, tell us how the conversation went briefly, and then they said, because, I mean, did you ask, well, how do you know who I'm listening to?
I told them when I called in, and I said, yes, I gave them my name. You know, you have to go through, you know, your Social Security number and all that. And then they're like, they didn't ask them what I was calling for. They already knew. And they said, yes. They said the reason for this phone call, we're assuming, is because of the letter you received. And I was, yeah. And they said, well, here's the reasons why. And they, you know, they already knew why I was calling. It was like some kind of Men in Black thing, you know, where they...
I understand.
Know,
it's all about how they're omnipresent and how we're a bunch of fluoride heads. Now, continue, though, with specifically, they then said, I mean, you didn't ask, well, why are you tracking what I listen to?
I was just so shocked at the, you know, to me it was a BS reason, you know, because I have no criminal background, you know.
No. It's criminal to know that they're criminals. You see, they're looking for people of low moral character who think they have moral character. It's a certain type of weak-minded person that'll commit crimes, commit evil, but as long as authority tells them it's okay, they'll do it. And they're but you didn't say to the person, was it a man or a woman?
It was a lady I spoke to.
You didn't say. He says, in the future, they're going to control having a job anywhere. That's what the cashless society is about.
I guess the future is now, huh?
Well, for you it is. Working, because, see, the FBI is a private mercenary army for the private Federal Reserve. And that's who they serve. And just unbelievably, innumerably wicked and dangerous. So you wanted to go, I guess, you know, do computer work or be a clerical person or something, and they just don't want that. But just to be clear, sir, you didn't say to her, how do you know what I listen to?
Yeah, I said, well, what's that got to do with anything like that? And she said, we'll be sending you information regarding, and so I'm thinking, well, if they send me that and it is illegal, so I'm thinking either they're not going to send me anything, they're just going to blow me off.
No. The main reason they did that was there could be some laws about them recording you at your doorstep to use it admissible. But when you called, I'm sure the phone system told you it was being recorded. So they wanted to opt in and then interrogate you to then be able to trigger it somehow to then be able to use that against you.
Well, you know what?
See, it's all about, listen, the whole government's about using our goodwill and our decency and our gullibility so they, the criminals, can use us and abuse us. And their whole system is about reveling and tricking us and reveling in the bad guys always winning and reveling in protecting corruption and reveling in just carrying out evil upon evil and tricking us and laughing at us. And it's just all about reveling in the destruction of the country. So, I'm not kidding. I mean, they're just stealing everything. I mean, it's a criminal government. It's in the Denver Post that the cops. It's in the Denver Post that the cops staged as rioters so they could attack peaceful crowds, just like we told everybody. I mean, you know, they just admit it. Yeah, we go out and attack other people so we can blame it on the citizens. It is a rogue criminal government. Now, is that saying all cops are bad? No, but the bosses directed cops, and they went out to set up the American people. You see, to stop free speech, and they don't like it, then I'll tell it like it is. Now, what did you say to her? Specifically, you said, what does this have to do with him?
Yeah, I said, yeah, and I said, what does it have to do with him? And my qualifications, as far as I know, I received a letter, I passed everything, you know, I'm good to go. So now, what's this? And she said, you will be receiving a statement on any questions you may have, and the reasons why. And she wouldn't go into detail other than that. And I said, well, I said, can I ask you some, you know, anything else? And she said, anything else that you may want to ask, I'm sure it'll be included in the package you'll be receiving.
Yeah, notice how polite we are. Is it all right? You've just told me I can't work in America because you're violating the law and watching what I view and where I go. And, you know, I mean, all they did was, listen, They don't even have to call up and get it. Their computer's already hooked in. You've got a major ISP. Who's your ISP?
Windstream.
Yeah, of course. So they just, they're already hubbed in to all the major hubs, so they just hubbed in, and, oh, look at him. He's visiting InfoWars.com. Well, that may be somebody in his house doing that, or that may be a son or a daughter or a neighbor. To disqualify him, just so we get some tape on him, go ahead and implement procedure Q97434-5. And then they go ahead and send their officers there for the setup, and then you're a nice little friendly slave, so you're there at the door. Hi, how you doing? And then they say, you call this number, and then they get you on tape.
Exactly.
That was the nexus point.
Well, Alex, I will definitely get this information to you, and let's be in touch, because I want to take it to the next level, because
absolutely,
I'm sure
let's
I'm
take
the
it.
Only one.
Sure, these are hardcore, vicious criminals. They can't wait till they can turn all your cards off, come and repossess your house, throw you out on the street. Then they'll say, oh, we got hordes of people on the street, got to take them to a labor camp. I mean, to them, standing over a labor camp with starving Americans in it, that makes their heart beat strong. It makes them feel good.
And
going there and letting you know you don't have a job, they love that fear, and they love the fear they're under. And they love that evil is protected and nothing can be done, and they're going to kidnap all the CPS children they want. They're going to ship in all the heroin and cocaine they want on our streets. They're gonna do whatever they, and they're gonna put their MIT surveillance grid in, and they're gonna train the kids how to thumb scan to buy and sell, and they're going to train the children how to write dossiers on their parents, and they're gonna confiscate our guns, and they're gonna do whatever they want, because now the whole economy is converting over to a giant criminal wonderland run by criminals in uniform. I appreciate your call. Let's talk to Bill in PA, first time caller. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I've been trying to get a hold of you since July 3rd of this year, after I started listening to you and I woke up. And I sent you a really, really long email, which I've been trying to get to you through Jason and everything. I don't know if you read it. My name is Bill Schmidt. I know you probably bleeped that out. But
no, we didn't bleep it out.
I am very tired of hearing about all this. I've been seeing this, and you and I are both the same age. I've been seeing the same problems since the early 80s, and I've been waking up talking to people over the course of my whole life. I finally woke up, and everything came to a head on July 3rd of this year, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing and listening to people over and over again. I think it's time that you Jesse Ventura, Ron Paul, all you people that are all backing this thing up and trying to wake people up, we need to take this to a serious next step. I'm not talking about violence. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. But I have a child, and I'm going to defend her and protect her no matter what.
Well, let me ask you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when they turn off all your credit cards and your bank account because you're not a good servant of the government? And then they send a SWAT team. Let me finish. They send a SWAT team to pull you out of your house. And these guys don't care. All they want is to feel tough. What are you going to do at that point?
Only hurting themselves when they do that, because you know what? More people are going to wake up faster. We need to have
good. They like that. They like that.
The Million Man March, and you have people gather together.
Okay, let me stop you. Let me stop you. We organize a million person march in D.C. The media totally ignores us. 100,000 show up, and they just have cops dressed up like us march right in and punch us in the face. And then the cops, and then right in front of everybody, the cops wave in more cops, and they come in and taser me, rubber bullet me right in front of everybody. It's openly in the news that cops posed as us. They don't care. They say, hey, we rule. End of America. What do you do about that?
No, I have a plan and an answer for
that. You have a plan. How do you deal with hardcore criminals whose one mission is to destroy the republic?
No, here's the answer. The answer is, you already have the answer. The answer is, you have the police. You have the fire people. You have strong people that are listening.
Really, where are they? Really, where are they? Where are they? The
where?
Cops always tell me how good they are, but every time I turn around, they're trying to provocateur violence to blame it on the peaceful protesters because their bosses don't want Americans protesting. They're already telling school children, hold on, they're already telling school children that it's a conspiracy theory that we ever had a right to march and demonstrate. They're already telling people that liberty never existed. or they're telling us it exists. Liberty is a black ski-mask cop stomping on your face because everything's fine because Barack Obama's in office. Sir, I understand you're all hyped up and ready to do something, ready to wake people up. Do it's not up to me to organize that, okay? Can't do it, sorry. Hey, you know, I'm not kidding around. I've been there. I've seen police punching and hitting people in front of the news cameras to make the demonstrators look bad so they have a pretext to beat the living daylights out of us and take us to prison. That's criminal. Now, I know most police aren't part of those units that do that. I don't care. Those orders are coming from on high. Your organization is criminal from the top down. Denver cops, that first day there. Same thing up in Minnesota. Guys in black would run out of the police lines, overturn stuff, and run right back. The cops through their face mask would be laughing, and they just move in and start beating the daylights out of, tasering, pepper spraying the crowd. They'd arrest hundreds. Because in America, you don't protest, scum, slave. And in America, if you listen to Alex Jones, you don't get a government job today, and the next day, you don't get any job. Because that's what this country's turned into. A bunch of cowards who are on power trips who will follow any legal order. It's funny. We've gotten behind-the-scenes videos after cops have done this in Miami, and they're sitting around laughing about how they set everybody up. Go watch it. It's on YouTube. It's funny to shut down free speech and to demonize things and to go false flag. That's a false flag. They go stage a little riot, a terror attack. And then they go and they set everybody up. It's real funny. It's real cute. And by saying, oh, well, the cops are good. They're not all bad. Nothing gets fixed. Nothing changes. I don't think the average cop wants to be part of that. The average cop does want a Second Amendment, a First Amendment. I understand that. The average cop's out generating revenue, out responding to burglar alarms. I understand that. I don't have a problem with your authority. I have a problem with tyranny. I have a big problem with it. And I'm not trying to get mad at Bill and PA, the first-time caller, but you could hear the, I'm tired of all this talk. It's time to go to the next level. You need to do this, Alex. I don't know. I mean, it's not like I call Ron Paul up and I say jump and he says how high. Not like I call Jesse Ventura up. And a lot of it's the organizations and the groups associated with these people. I mean, you know, the minute I tried to organize anything, everybody would like to send in on it and try to take it over because there isn't real leadership out there. And then we have a march in Washington. Ron Paul's done a couple of those. 10,000 people show up. Because the alternative media is big, but it's fractured. And at the national, I mean, they've had control the border marches with 800,000 people in D.C. It doesn't go on the news. It only goes on the news if they want it to. And so, see, I'm in the catbird seat, the crow's nest. I'm seeing what's going on, and somebody down on the deck is telling me, oh, Alex, you need to do this. Look, I need to take more time off. I need to make films that affect greater change and reach more people. And I need to do the radio show. It is not all up to me. And I'm not trying to be negative with the caller. It's just, that I don't even take off when I get sick. You know, I got a chest cold last week. Still got it. Haven't stopped working. And I should probably be at home in bed, but I'm not. And that's as much as I can give. And a lot of people get mad at me because they say, Alex, you need to be directed by us. You need to do every idea we talk about and do everything we discuss. No, we need to have marches in every city, in every county. We need to go before our city councils. We need to sue the federal government for discrimination. We need to do a million things.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We got Dr. Jerome Corsi joining us, talking about the whole Barack Obama phenomenon now post-election and during the transition. Getting more of Barack Obama's actual policies, and it looks worse than I'd originally said. Plus, the cult-like, the last leader in the Western world worshipped like this by the media and the culture was Adolf Hitler. Literally. No one. This is 50 times the worship of John F. Kennedy. So, we're in a lot of trouble. I'll just tell you that right now. And yes, they're putting in a cashless society grid so they can turn your cards off, take your bank account, and then let you starve to death, and then a paramilitary force will try to mop you up. They're going to bring it in very slowly. And to watch my fellow Americans and people worldwide being brought into great bondage is very upsetting and very painful. And to have children living in this is very painful. And to see the public being suckered in like Jim Jones cult members after Obama, who's a puppet, being suckered into the New World Order agenda is very painful. Very painful. Well, what, are you for McCain then? No, I'm against the whole phony system, and I'm sick that people are being suckered in again. They're cold-blooded crooks run the government. It's their personal cash machine. Got it? Stan in Maryland, you're on the air. Go ahead, Stan.
Good afternoon, Alex. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Just wanted to once again thank you because you woke me up as well. First it was News Change, Final Cut, and then Endgame. And I have to say to people who are listening out there, this whole Obama thing, they talk about it being something that's going to bring racial reconciliation. Well, it's actually bringing division. I'm black, and I can't talk to some people about the issue. They won't even listen to what I have to say about it, about the police state, surveillance grid. It's like I committed blasphemy, like a caller that you had on earlier said.
I bet they were listening when you were talking about it with Bush, but now, no, they're saying, look at the newspaper. There's a cartoon with Obama with tape putting the Constitution back together. It's all fixed.
Yeah, and the strange part is this. I listened to C-SPAN radio. This was the day after the election, the day after that. And they had black folks calling in, you know, of course. Oh, it's going to be this great change, et cetera. And then you had white folks calling in, oh, well, I'm scared. He's going to take our rights away. So there's actually a division, and the callers were encouraging this. This was on FM 90.1 in my area, and the callers were, like, kind of egging it on. It reminded me of the call they had with Ralph Nader when the guy was saying, did you regret the Uncle Sam versus Uncle Tom comment? So it's like child psychology that's going, playing both sides against each other.
Exactly, and it gets the American people fighting with each other instead of fighting against the bankers.
Yeah, and as far as the bailout goes, I mean, I don't want to be negative about it, but the more people I talk to, it's like deer in the headlights. It's gone. They've gone public with the bailout money going to the executives, the bonuses, and you mention it to people, and they're like, what? And I say, read the news. It's there. So what I want to say to you is just don't get discouraged. I know sometimes I've heard on the air the past couple of weeks you were getting exasperated. You do what you can do. If they won't listen, get the dust off your feet, move on. And I'll say this to your other listeners real quick. Some guys out there, I don't know, but maybe your wives or your kids, they might not be on board with it. You know, if you're a Christian, pray for them. If not, whatever, show them the information, okay? Don't back down on it. Because I got into this with my own wife, you know, and she's coming around to it now. Not to show your films.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm really freaked out about is that I would love to love our first black president. I would love to have loved George Bush, but when they work for the same globalist institutions, I can't. And now, when people finally turn against Obama, it is going to really hurt black folks' feelings because the media is going to imply it's because they're racist.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting back. But also, for people who are black, it's going to be that you're a racist. So again, it's both ends being played against each other.
Absolutely. Good to hear from you, my friend. Dr. Corsi, straight ahead. More of your phone calls. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We're going to have open phones throughout the hour and the next hour. For the next 52 minutes, Dr. Jerome Corsi is our guest, and Professor Michelle Chasadosky joins us to talk about how the bailout is a private looting or a heist, and the documents that cover all that. Former head of the Treasury, head of policy, Dr. Roberts, former editor of the Wall Street Journal, talked about how it was a heist on Friday. But none of that matters now. The police state, none of it matters because Obama's in there, and the whole agenda of the New World Order is continuing on. And I've never seen any American leader worshipped like this. The last person in the Western world I saw being called the one to change the world, the leader, by major publications, was Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was talked about in Europe and the U.S. like this, like he was some type of rock star. A lot of Americans don't know that. You've only heard the bad stuff about Hitler, but before the war in 1939, when he went into Czechoslovakia and then into the Rhineland, Sudetenland, Danzig, places like that, he was the savior. He was the guy. He had all the answers. You know, he had the Olympics in 36. He drew the designs for the Olympics, the torch, the rings. He was the one. Anytime you see that historically, that lets you know the system is planning some bad stuff with this person. They are going to bring in the police state, North American Union, carbon taxes, everything under him, and police, military, FBI, all of you have a choice to make. Are you with the American people and liberty or with the New World Order? And a lot of you, through fear, are going to go along with this. And I, in the end of this, when we fall like Germany or however it's going to happen, just remember you were warned, and we could have said no to this. Dr. Corsi, of course, wrote the book that helped defeat Kerry. And then he was no big fan of McCain. He wrote the book Abomination, and I found it to be very accurate. But they didn't attack him on that. They attacked him on interviews he'd done or things he'd said, or for coming on this radio show and saying, you know, that we needed to look at the collapse of the towers. She said, just look at it. So that became a big international issue, this show. And we interviewed him out in Denver, but not since then. And so, of course, he's an expert on the NAU, on the carbon tax, on all of this in together with Barack Obama. So I wanted to get him on today to talk about what's happened during the campaign, what happened in Kenya. He's been pretty sick. He got real ill in Kenya. He's still ill right now. And we're not going to spend too much time on that, but he's just now able to do interviews a lot again. Dr. Corsi, good to have you on with us.
Thanks, Alex. Great to be back with you. I've had arthritis in my spine and a really kind of chronic arthritis, and it just flared up in Kenya. I could barely walk. Then I went to Hawaii, did more research. I mean, I've been really struggling for the last month, but still researching and getting the stories out. So I'll be hopefully able to get the meds in me and take some rest now that the election's over, except the stories continue. At least I don't think there's going to be much rest for a while.
Well, let's talk about, briefly, your experience in the campaign, the way the media handled it, the way they gave kid gloves for him, but then would even make stuff, not that I'm defending her, but make stuff up about Palin and others. And then let's talk about now where we're going in the future. We exposed last week that on his website, last Thursday, change.gov, that he said compulsory national service for old people, young people, little kids. And they took that down over the weekend, and now big neo-lib websites are saying we are liars. That was never on his site. So cult-like devotion and denial.
Well, I think, you know, certainly what I suffered, what I went through, if you criticized Obama, you're in for, severe attacks from the Obama campaign. The Obama is not open to the type of normal criticism that most political candidates expect. I mean, look at Sarah Palin and the attacks that they went. All the attacks on Sarah Palin or Joe the Plumber. I mean, you know, me for writing a book, they wrote a 40-page unfit for publication, you know, saying my book was full of lies and inaccuracies. Actually, there were very, very minor issues you know, easily corrected in second printing in my book.
And then they use data mining with the government to pull up everything on Joe the Plumber and then twist that. But that's okay. That's loving and sweet.
And they also, you know, they did. I wrote a 60-page rebuttal, a rejoinder to this unfit for publication that I published in WorldNet Daily. And, of course, the Obama campaign totally ignored my responses. So it's an entirely one-way attack. And the Obama campaign seems to be totally unable to take criticism. It's going to be, if they continue this way, it's going to be worse than Nixon's enemies or, you know, the inability of a campaign or a presidency to engage in what's normal give and take of policy criticism.
Well, that's like Rahm Emanuel when he was Clinton's head guy in 96, screaming, die, die, as he said the name, stabbing the table at a dinner they were having, foaming at the mouth. They're now saying, Chuckie Schumer and all of them are saying, yes, they're coming after talk radio, everybody's free speech, and all these mainline liberals who were against George Bush and his police state, they're suddenly saying, yes, yes, ban all the shows, ban them, get rid of free speech, it's good.
Well, I think we're going to have certainly a first round here where free speech will have to be defended. Because if the fairness doctrine gets reinstituted and there's an attempt made, which I think there will be, to shut down talk radio, you're going to see that the American people, again, are denied an opportunity to get the truth. Certainly, I mean, now you've got the Washington Post openly saying that they were biased in favor of Obama. That was obvious. Certainly the New York Times, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, they were all biased in favor of Obama. It was very hard for anybody, for any of us, to get research out there that was accurate, was well-defined, and deserved comment and criticism. Certainly now we're going to find that, you know, a lot of the stories we developed at the time were true. Reverend Wright, I'm sure, will write another book. You've got Rezko in prison. Rezko, I'm sure, to save himself, he's already turning state's evidence against the governor. I'm sure he'll also turn state's evidence against Obama. But it's only beginning, and Obama's not able to handle the kind of criticism that most presidents expect as part of the job.
Well, we saw that with Clinton, that they really had an enemies list and really would sick the IRS on people. I mean, I know people personally who were authors who would mildly criticize them and have the government come after them. And we've seen that same inner group of the Clintonistas come in. But let's talk about Obama's policy because, you know, you're an economic guy. You've got a degree in that. And, you know, you've worked with some big firms. Obama was the big cheerleader when McCain said, hey, maybe we should look at this bailout. He came out and said, how dare you, McCain? We've got to give them unlimited power. And then the banks kept the money and said they're going to use it for bonuses and to acquire other healthy institutions. I mean, that's now even in the New York Times. We've got Obama for an NAU. We've got him now saying he's for more trade deals. We've got him openly saying youth brigades and million-man Stasi forces. I mean, you can't make this type of stuff up. And then there's literally hundreds of editorial cartoons out in the last week showing him putting the Constitution back together, taping it, gluing it back together, taking it back from George Bush, that he's going to give us all our liberties back. And meanwhile, he's actually saying take more.
Well, what I'm saying here, and if you take a look, you know, I'm writing now this Red Alert. If you go to redalert.wnd for WorldNet Daily, redalert.wnd.com, every week I've got a economics newsletter now that I'm publishing. And the current one, you'll see also the lead story on WorldNet Daily's front page. I'm saying that the stock market is headed now to the next low, which is 6,000. I mean, right now, we're trading, the stock market, as we're talking, stock market's down about 77 points and is trading at about, 88, 86. On the day of the election, the stock market was, you know, over 9,500. There was enthusiasm at the time that McCain might be winning, and the stock market was doing well. Stock market's, you know, dived about 1,000 points since Obama's been elected. And I'm saying, and people should listen to this very seriously, I'm saying that, you know, the next low in the stock market is 6,000, which means, you know, we're standing here to lose 2,800 points on the stock market. It's a huge amount of money out of the economy.
$5 trillion.
Out of 401ks, out of people's ability to really earn a living. I mean, if the stock market hits 6,000, which I'm saying it will, this is going to be an economic crisis that will be equivalent to starting to enter the Great Depression.
Well, Dr. Corsi, that's my point. You've got all these Kool-Aid drinkers who literally, I mean, they're on TV saying, the world has changed. I don't have to work anymore. I'll never have problems again. I mean, that they actually believe this guy's the Messiah. I mean, even if he was a good guy, he couldn't change or fix any of this. What are they going to do as all he offers is giant million-man domestic spy forces and compulsory drafts for our children?
Well, I think, first of all, the key issue with any new president, with any president at all, is they're going to be judged on results. So Obama can say whatever he wants. People can now cheerlead. They can say these are brilliant moves. These are, you know, if they love what Obama does, they can say how wonderful it is. But it's going to get judged on results. And the stock market, which today is now down 79 points, you know, the stock market's heads towards another triple-digit loss. We'll have had, this will have been the third triple-digit loss since Obama was elected, you know, but he's now president-elect. Since last Tuesday, all the stock market has done is headed south. That's reality. We can cheerlead all we want, but the reality is what he's going to be judged on.
Dr. Corsi, stay there. Quick break. We're going to come back and get in any facets you want to cover dealing with Obama. But, I mean, I got the news here. They're coming after the guns, everything. I mean, what do we do? How do we stop this guy? Well, he's the author of Abomination. Dr. Jerome Corsi. Doc, while we've got you, we're open the phones up in the next segment for you. I mean, I came out and said, look, he's for the same policies as John McCain. He's for the corporate looting. He's for more wars. He's for warrantless spying on the American people, which is just completely widespread, and the government's now had to admit that. I mean, they're totally bankrupt. And then the people just email me going, ha-ha, you lost, you're just mad. And I've never seen such cult-like following or such mainstream media kneeling before a president. I mean, you heard my Hitler quote earlier, but I mean, I'm not joking, Dr. Corsi. This is getting worse than I even thought it originally would be.
I think it's going to continue to get worse. Look, Alex, when I was in Kenya, and I went to Kenya, I was there for a week. I was researching when I got called over saying that, you know, my chapter 4 in the Abomination is all about how Obama has supported this radical politician Odinga, Raila Odinga, who is a communist, basically extreme socialist or a communist. His father was an outright communist. And Odinga signed an agreement to expand Sharia law, Islamic law, if the Muslims voted for him in Kenya. Kenya's about 85% Christian right now. And also, when Odinga lost the election in December, we're just talking about December 27th last year, just a few months ago, Odinga asked for his Luo tribesmen to go out and protest. They protested. They killed 1,000 of the Kikuyu tribe. They destroyed about 800 churches, not a single mosque. You know, this little town, Eldoret.
And it turned out that Senator Obama's office had advised them to basically do that.
Well, in fact, I came back with the document, which was the plan for Odinga's campaign. And the plan, and I talked with top officials of Odinga's campaign who had defected because they were appalled by the violence after the election, and by the agreement Odinga signed with radical Islam. So this is an accurate document. It called for that if Odinga lost the general election, he was going to use a round of tribal violence to gain power. And you had Obama, working with Odinga on the cell phone through the entirely through the primary campaign in New Hampshire to advise Odinga as to how to use all of this power, all of this tribal violence.
And that's exactly what Obama's saying now on his own website. They're saying youth brigades, old folks, compulsory military service. And
well, the campaign that Odinga ran was identical to Obama's. Odinga ran a campaign on hope and change. The themes were identical. I brought back the documentary evidence. This is why I was detained in Kenya. I was there for a week. Been meeting with the government, been meeting with top party officials. I decided the day I was going to leave, I would hold a press conference. And at that press conference, I would reveal the findings, including that Obama had brought Odinga to the United States three times and raised $1 million for Odinga in the United States to run for prime minister in Kenya. Also, Muammar Gaddafi had raised $1 million for Obama. For Odinga to run for, prime minister, for president then, in Kenya. So you had Obama and Gaddafi working hand-in-hand with Odinga to expand Islam in Kenya. That's a tremendously important story, and it was not told in the American press.
And you can't make this up, that the whole family is basically communist. He's surrounded by communists, and we raise it, and they say, so what if everybody's communist, and so what if he wants national compulsory service? That's freedom. And then meanwhile, what are his zombie followers going to do when the economy keeps falling apart, when they don't get the change? Are they going to blame people that don't support him, and that if we would have just gotten behind their savior, that everything would have been all right?
Well, certainly they'll do that, but also the Obama people will blame the current recession on Bush. This will be Bush's recession. No matter what, for the next 2 years, no matter what happens economically, you can bet that Obama will blame it on Bush. Obama intends to continue to run against Bush throughout his first term, hoping for a second term. But what I'm saying is that the supporters, the Obama supporters in Kenya, the people that Obama's worked with, like this Odinga, the father, was an outright communist. He worked with Obama's father when Obama's father was a failed economist in the Kenyatta regime. Odinga himself was trained in Eastern Germany and named his first son Fidel Castro. So it can show you both Obama's willingness to work with
radical
socialists.
No, it's clear. I mean,
socialists.
Obama is a... Hold on, doctor. We got a break. Long statement coming up. He comes from hardcore political communist, and that's why the big banks love him, because they want to destroy the middle class and free market and have a world government run by them. Openly anti-gun and believes in banning all different types of rifles, handguns, you name it, banning gun shows, private sales. I mean, I've got a list of it here. It's unbelievable. His chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, is the guy that got the assault weapons ban passed. He was the spearhead of that, and NAFTA. So now if you're against NAFTA and GATT, if you're against the North American Union, if you're against Obama saying he's going to spearhead this new global currency and the private banks setting up a, quote, new world order, that is change. That's accelerating the tyranny. That is change. That is bringing in world government. Now, again, Dr. Corsi's been sick. He's was one of the first interviews he's done since the election. We appreciate him being here, and he's going to be back on more in the near future after he gets some rest. I do want to take some calls, but let's look forward. You've studied Obama. You've studied his handlers. You've studied the people he's bringing in. You've written a best-selling book about the North American Union, about how they would implode the U.S. currency, try to bring in a new global basket of currencies. Exactly that is now happening. He helped spearhead the banker takeover. When Congress wouldn't pass it, Obama went on TV and said, you've got to do this, and had his zombies call Congress, and then they rammed it through. So break down, Dr. Corsi, from studying these people, where you see them going in the future.
Well, everything I wrote about in the late great USA is happening. In fact, Simon & Schuster's asked me to do a paperback version of the late great USA, and I'm right now doing the new epilogue. If you saw it today, right now, Reuters is running an article where the there's going to be a speech given next week where Britain's Prime Minister Gordon Brown is. It's a keynote speech he's going to give to an international conference saying that we need to have a global society. So now Britain is out in the age of saying this is the global age. They're using the crisis just exactly like I said would happen when I wrote The Late Great USA. I predicted we would have a dollar crisis. We had it. Now we've got both France and Germany out there saying we need to look to a global economy. Very few people saw it. I reported it in my Red Alert newsletter. Even the International Monetary Fund has given away like $500 billion to emerging countries who can't meet their debts. Once that money's given away, the IMF will again own the emerging economies. We're basically running a situation where the governments are nationalizing the banks around the world. As the next step after they nationalize the banks, is they'll nationalize the currency. This is the progression that we're in. And the crisis, this whole subprime crisis, which if you recall, when I wrote The Late Great USA, I was predicting the subprime crisis. And Alex, I was predicting that we would see the same kind of unemployment that we're seeing right now in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan, where the jobs would be continuously going overseas. Also, this talk about how a global economy would save, you know, the U.S. economy is nonsense. All we've done is throw the entire global economy into a global recession. This is our first global recession caused by this new world order thinking, and it will be used to create a new world currency. The push towards a North American Union will never be stronger than it will be under an Obama administration.
Now, to be specific, I had the London Telegraph today,
right,
with the headline, Gordon Brown calls for New World Order,
yes,
to beat recession. I mean, this is so over-the-top asinine, the chutzpah.
They're out there openly. They're blatant now.
Well, they are the ones that engineered this banking consolidation. They've taken, yes, the over $1 trillion that's been pumped into their gullets, their craws.
It's already happened. Once the banks are nationalized, once the United States and Great Britain nationalized the banks, we've already moved into a government-controlled economy. The next step is to move into a government-controlled regional currency like the Amero. If they don't just bypass the Amero and go directly to a North American, European currency, which now they could do, it's on the agenda. And Gordon Brown, by giving this speech, you know, when I do the epilogue to The Late Great USA, I'm going to be saying that we slowed the agenda down by publicizing it. The work you did, Alex, the work I did, the work others, to get out there and publicize it. But given the magnitude of this worldwide depression that's been intentionally caused, I think it's all overwhelmed. So the people will very quickly, instead of saying, look, we're on the verge of losing our homes, losing our jobs. Just like I wrote in The Late Great USA, if you cause enough fear, people will be willing to abandon economic sovereignty and economic control into a new world order that will have a new world currency, which is exactly where the banks and the government's pushing for these regional governmental structures.
And by the way, you weren't flying blind. The architects of it, like Robert Pastor at the CFR, said they would use terrorism and economic crises to get this in place. And they're openly saying a basket of world currencies regulated through an international private banking agreement. And like you said, they're telling the public, this is your only hope when going down this path is what will destroy the economy.
Exactly. And I said this again going back to July of 2007 when I wrote The Late Great USA. You're going to start seeing the next set of things, the Council on Foreign Relations, Ben Steele, which is already, he's already written one article saying that, you know, regional currencies are a thing of the past. The next push will be for, you know, getting a world currency, not just, forget national currencies, they're already beyond that. I just got back from Africa. The main push in Africa right now is for an African currency. The African Union is the main push right now, in Africa, just the same as it's going to be in Asia, just the same as it's going to be in Europe, and the same as it's going to be in North America.
And that destroys their local sovereignty and brings them under regional governments.
Precisely, and the same idea is that, look, they're going to say these economies are under such bad condition, they'll blame it on George Bush. When, you know, there is Obama doesn't have a single idea that he's expressed so far except to give more money away. I mean, you know, it's almost ridiculous. Why doesn't Obama just simply buy everybody their homes and give them to them? Buy our mortgages and give them to us. Of course, the problem is, if they did that, the currency would be, you know, more, it'd be worse than worse.
Actually, McCain said, buy off the bad part of the mortgages and let the people then have that reduction instead of just letting the banks write it off and keep the profit.
Well, probably what they're
going to
do.
And then Obama said, no, all of it goes to the bankers.
Right.
So he's really a cold, hard thief.
What they're going to do is they're going to bail the bankers out, and Obama will participate in bailing the bankers out. What they'll do is they'll consolidate. They'll go down to about a dozen world banks, consolidate them, and they'll go to probably initially four or five regional world currencies, all of the way to having the, you know, Bank of International Settlements, the International Monetary Fund, and the UN be the major agencies in control economically, so that the central banks of the individual countries will be minor details. And basically, they're going to say that the Paulson Bernanke plan failed, and what's necessary now is to move up to the next level of regional and international control. I'm predicting that's going to be the next immediate pressure you're going to start to see.
Well, they've said they're doing that.
And by the time Lake Ray USA is published out as a reprint, as a paperback, it's going to be well along the way. Simon & Schuster has also asked me to do a reprint of the Obama Nation. Because, again, most of the questions I asked of the Obama Nation have never been addressed at all.
Yeah, why didn't they release the original birth certificate?
Well, in fact, I've been asked today. We had discussions all weekend with Joseph Farah and WorldNet Daily. WorldNet Daily is going right back onto the theme of the birth certificate. I'd say as soon as I get a little bit of rest here, maybe a week, we're going to be designing a strategy to go after these birth certificate issues. I've got a variety of theories I intend to pursue very directly as to who Obama really is, what the parentage really is, and what the birth certificates are really going to look like. I mean, you've already got being put into place the basics here of a world government, with the American people being totally, you know, misled and fooled as to what's happening. Because the structure of everything I argued, the necessity for a crisis, the necessity for the fall of the dollar. When I wrote The Late Great USA, you know, back even when I was writing Black Gold Stranglehold, which was a year before that, in 2005, and I said then that oil would go to $100 a barrel, I was being ridiculed. People said it would never happen. And now that we've gotten oil down to about $65 a barrel, everybody's saying, isn't this great? Look, we've solved the problem. No, that's just been a relaxation. Oil is going to be back up to $145 a barrel as the economy, the Dow Jones, heads down to 6,000, which is where I'm predicting. And I'm saying oil will, again, you'll see gold head back over to $1,000 an ounce.
Uh-huh.
All these movements are already in progress.
And for those that don't know, I mean, you've got a degree in this from Harvard, so.
Well, and also I've been predicting, over 25 years I worked in financial services. I work with banks around the world. Part of my job was always to do predictions. What WorldNet Daily asked me to start doing at the end of last year was to prepare this redalert.wnd.com newsletter. I've got the newsletter now fully prepared and designed. I kept it going even through the election. If you take a look at WorldNet Daily today, you'll see one of the major articles I posted on there that the next bottom number we're headed to in the stock market is 6,000. And Alex, there are thousands of people listening today, and I'm telling people, sell your stocks. People are usually told, hold on, the market's going to come back. Don't worry, your 401k will be back if you just hold on. I'm saying that's nonsense. If you've got money in the stock market today, sell it, get out of the stock market what you've got left, because it isn't coming back.
All right.
And if it does come back, it's not coming back quick.
Doc, I want to take some calls before you leave us, but other predictions for the future. But before you do that, I want you to address the million-man domestic spy force as big as the armed forces, the youth brigades, and the fact that Obama lies so much. I mean, they removed that off their website, and they're now saying it was never there, despite the fact we have the screenshots. I mean, this guy is already putting Bill Clinton to shame.
Lying is nothing for Obama. Lying, Obama said they knew Ayers because they lived in their neighborhoods and their kids went to school. Like Dennis Miller once pointed out to me, Obama's kids are two little girls, and Ayers' kids are all grown up, and plus, Ayers' kids were very slow. They never went to school a single day together. They are together because Ayers and Obama agree politically on a radical leftist agenda. You're going to see the same thing happen with this national, whatever kind of core it's going to be. It's going to be like a brown shirt effort to equip the youth and have them be a thought control brigade. We're extremely concerned about it at WorldNet Daily. We also have been one of the first following what this brown shirt brigade means. And expect lying to be the norm for Obama. Obama is very, very hard to pin down on the facts. But it's going to be very difficult. I know Jeremiah Wright is going to write a new book. You're going to see Rezko. Rezko right now is already spilling the beans on the governor. Federal prison's not very much fun to be in. I suspect Rezko will try to start talking about Obama soon. He'll look for a pardon. It's Rezko's only real chance to get out, and Obama's going to be pressured to give him a pardon.
What do you expect Obama to do when he first gets in? I mean, he's openly saying...
There's going to be a series of executive orders. Obama's not even going to bother with Congress. He's going to take five or six of his top agendas, whether they be abortion or they be global warming or they be stem cells or whatever, and he's just going to issue direct executive orders saying this is now a fact. And as Obama gets into power, as he begins to settle in, I think you're going to see the economics, all the idea that 95% of the people are going to get tax cuts, all of that's lies. There's going to be people out there who are expecting that Obama is going to pay their rent and pay their mortgages. Forget that. I think Obama is going to do very, very little for the poor of the country. He hasn't even done very much for the poor in his own family. Look, he constantly new people are showing up who in Obama's family have suffered poverty. He's done nothing for them. Obama's out for Obama, and I think you'll see a series of lies. The next thing also I expect there to be some major, major tests in the Middle East. I expect there to be major revival of terrorism.
Well, we keep hearing that. I mean, Doc,
Somalia is going to be the next major station for terrorists. I think Somalia is easier to get to than Afghan, and Somalia is going to be the next major base where the terrorists look to organize their training camps.
Well, I mean, it's clear that they're preparing a crisis. Colin Powell is saying the 21st or 22nd, and then Obama can go blow up some training camps that may not even exist, then flex his muscles and get hawks behind him.
All the issues of violence, all the issues of seeing political terrorism are going to be issues used by the Obama campaign, the Obama presidency, to gain power. I think the Obama presidency gaining power is going to make the Bush administration, steps the Bush administration took with these various presidential orders, grabbing power in the case of emergency, they're there for Obama to use. I think you're going to see...
That's what I was going to say next. The media keeps implying he's going to restore the Bill of Rights, but the Obama campaign is actually accelerating all the powers that Bush accrued.
I think you're going to see the Patriot Act number 2 being introduced. I think you're going to see very much more radical control. There'll be an effort to control by reinstituting some kind of a fairness doctrine to shut down any criticism of Obama in the press. It'll be very much more difficult. I mean, look how difficult it was for me. I went to Kenya, researched in Kenya. The one day I'm trying to do a press conference, I'm arrested. And by the way, today in Africa, Odinga is already saying he deserves a payback for arresting me because that helped elect Obama. So just wait to see, you know, the extent to which the press is suppressed under an Obama regime that really doesn't want any criticism at all.
Well, I don't know why folks think having a black face is going to change anything when Obama worked for the very same big Wall Street international firms that are looting the economy right now, and he's a big cheerleader for it. I mean,
well, Obama got as much or more of his campaign contributions from the major Wall Street firms that McCain ever did.
Way more.
Way more. And I think you're right now in line for a reorganization of Wall Street, and the one firm which survived, and I don't think it's accidental, Goldman Sachs thrived. Goldman Sachs thrived on the downturn in the housing. You've got Paulson. You've got any number of people from Goldman Sachs that will come out of this administration, and Goldman Sachs under the Obama administration will be the main Wall Street firm under which a Wall Street reorganization occurs. See a consolidation of Wall Street, just like you'll see a consolidation of banking.
Vertical integration. Dr. Corsi, stay there. We'll take some calls when we get back. Dr. Corsi with us for two more segments, going straight to your phone calls. Obama's now at the White House meeting with the outgoing puppet. While we're all busy watching them, the big corporations are looting everything. Briefly, Dr. Corsi, because you know you're into economics, does it even make you stand back, though, in awe to see the level of corporate looting and to openly see them announcing world government of and by the banks and that they're literally just taking trillions that we're going to have to pay back in tax money?
Well, it's amazing because, again, I predicted it, Alex. It's exactly what I wrote in the late, great USA. And by the way, it'll never be paid back. What they'll do is they'll create a new currency. The new currency will essentially be a devaluation. And so they'll basically forgive all of these loans that they're paying back right now. The loans will be translated into equity, and you'll see the next round being government ownership and international ownership, because you'll see the next, you know, immediately the petrodollar states. We're already holding meetings in the Treasury. People know very little about, but the Treasury is already holding meetings with the petrodollar states as to how Sharia law can be introduced into the economics of the United States to invite petrodollar investments. China's very angry. China hates seeing, you know, the investments that they've made. A lot of these, you know, subprime loans were sold to China. China wants a return on their money. China's going to want to see direct investment in the United States.
By the way, I want to go back there. People don't know that Sharia law is just Islamic law. They think it's drowning your daughter in the pool. They don't understand that's only one small part of it.
One small part.
I mean, Sharia law is so that larger international institutions can do business with those countries. Most of Sharia law is about economics.
Sharia law has fundamental controls over economics. And Sharia law, when it comes to economics, is completely different than U.S. law. The rules are different. Interest is different. The handling of money, the handling of control, what you can and cannot do in a corporation is different. If you think that, you know, women are not, I just can't wait to see what the feminists are going to do once Sharia law is imposed upon economic activity in banks. Be lucky to see women advanced in banks at all, or women advanced in corporations that are owned by Arab investors who are not fond at all of seeing women advance. It's going to be a fundamentally different world.
Oh, man, let's take some calls. I'm Mark in Boston and Mark in Oregon, Patrick and Scott. We'll try to get you all in here. Mark, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me on. Thanks, Jerome, for being on Alex's show again. And I thought I had a lead for you. I went to a lecture with Linda Bilmes, and apparently you've already had her co-author of the book, The $3 Trillion War, on your show. But I asked her whether or not she would like to appear on your show, and she said that she would indeed like to show up on the show.
Well, I've had Stiglitz on, who's now calling for world government, so we're getting him back on to ask him about our new world government we'll be under.
Yeah, well...
Before I forget, Dr. Corsi, if Limbaugh and Hannity would come out and talk about all this, I mean, it's in the Boston Globe, it's in the Associated Press, can't they come out and admit, okay, we were right, you know, that is myself and you and others, there really is a world government, or are they just going to say it doesn't exist even as the dollar goes under?
I think they're going to be forced to come out now and look at what happens with the world government. Alex, in the next 6 months, the United States is strapped for capital. You're going to see a search for capital that is unprecedented. We're going to be with the petrodollar countries. We're going to be with the Chinese, with our negative balance of trade. We're going to be all over the world saying we need to recapitalize the United States. And when we do, the United States will be for sale. We will not be in control the way
China
we are
China announced today $500-something billion, quote, in economic stimulus. And that means, by the way, buying up the U.S. So, yeah, that's it. They blow out our economy by design, then take our tax money to buy us up. You got to love it. They blow out our economy, then the international banks take our money in the name of the bailout, then they use it to buy us up. Stay there. I'll let you finish up, Mark.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
This is it. You're witnessing the birth of the world government by the International Banking Crime Syndicate that orchestrated the economic implosion. Dr. Gorsuch's our guest. I should have added during the radio show, we have the late, great USA in hardcover. Gorgeous. Cover, great gift to give people, but the information's even more powerful. All the documents about the secret North American Union that they're now openly admitting. You need to get this book and give it to everybody, available at Infowars.com right now. By the way, massively discounted because the publisher gave us such a great deal. Again, Infowars.com. Please order today. Mark in Boston, finish up your question for Dr. Corsi.
Yes, I'm here in Boston at the epicenter of all this globalist think tank stuff with the MIT and Harvard and things like that. And basically, I'm trying to just show up and go to all these lectures and organize people to come and try and voice their opinions instead of sitting at home waiting for you or Jerome to do something about it.
Yeah.
I'd just like to encourage people to join up, start their own We Are Change chapter, help me do some research, do your own research. You know, if you don't want to work with me or somebody else, just get out. I mean, hand a DVD to a police officer. I mean, I've made that my personal hobby. I've had a tremendous amount of success. You know, you just have to get over your comfort zone and just talk to people.
Absolutely. And is that We Are Change Boston?
Yeah, wearechangeboston.org. I haven't built up the site yet. It's just going to a meetup group, but I'm trying to.
All right, we got
to
jump. We got to jump. I really appreciate that. I mean, The bad news is the global elite have the high ground, they have the power, but also, Doctor, what they're doing is incredibly unpopular. So how do we stop this world government?
Well, Alex, I think we stop it the way we're doing it. That is exposure, the continued exposure. Your show, bringing on guests, getting these themes. I'm going to continue writing. I continue writing a World Net Daily. I'm going to issue a paperback both of Late Great USA and The Obama Nation. I've got a new book in mind. Simon & Schuster looks very inclined to publish it. I hope by summer I'm going to have a whole new effort on exposing this international attempt to buy America. And I'm going to go at it very hard. And Alex, I'm going to have to say goodbye. I've got other calls coming in. It's great to have an hour with you. And I plan, as I feel better, recovery here, to be spending more time with you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Corsi. Take care.
Great pleasure and honor to be with you. Thank you, Alex.
You bet. There he goes. Let's go ahead and take one call. Mark in Oregon. He had to leave, but go ahead.
Hello, Alex. How you doing?
Good.
Well, I'll tell you, Alex, I did have a couple of facts I wanted to relate to Dr. Corsi, but I guess relating them to you, they're going to get to him sooner or later anyway.
Go ahead.
The first is, I had wanted to ask Dr. Corsi, maybe you could tell me, Alex, what is your understanding of Mr. Phil Berg, the high-credentialed lawyer who has documents showing that Barack Obama is actually not a citizen of the United States, thus he is not qualified to be president of the United States. Dr. Stan Monteith had mentioned late last week that, to his understanding, that Mr. Berg is going to the Supreme Court on December 1st, and he's going to be presenting documents at the court at the request of Justice David Souter, which will be in the direction of exposing the non-citizenship of Mr. Barack Obama. Now, beyond that, Alex, Rick Wiles reported last week that Barack Obama's actual current legal name, assuming he's never had a name change, is Barry Satoru, S-A-T-O-R-O.
Yes.
And there is documentation for this on Barack Obama's Indonesian school application form. I believe it was for the Muslim school that he attended in Indonesia, as showing his birthplace as being Indonesia, and his name is Barry Satoru. So maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel, brother, and God bless you, and take care.
Thank you. The system loves him because they can destroy him at any time. You know, why didn't we run a black guy for president who was from America and wasn't a communist? And because, again, the globalists have an agenda.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Barack Obama vows to change the world. He's called the One. That's a London Telegraph headline. Here's another London Telegraph today. Gordon Brown calls for New World Order to beat recession. The bankers that caused it all, they will fix it. We got a link up on Infowars.com to globalresearch.ca, an excellent article, Who Are the Architects of Economic Collapse? Michelle Chasidowski, professor, researcher, and we really appreciate him joining us today to go over this detailed article in the next 25 minutes. Then we're going to have open phones for the balance of the radio broadcast and a bunch of other scientific news, like 2 billion honeybees dying in England alone, directly linked to genetically engineered pesticide. That's right. The corn itself has pesticide in it, and it's killing the bees. That's just one part of this. So we'll be covering that as well. Professor, you have a big bio, but I always like to introduce you. Briefly, the most important parts of your bio so people understand that you know of what you speak.
Well, essentially, I'm a macroeconomist specializing in the international financial system, but I'm also looking at military aspects, the war, because it's all, in fact, everything is interconnected.
Yes.
This crisis has been cooking for quite a number of years. It goes back to what was called the 1999 Financial Services Modernization Act, which was a major legislative initiative of the Clinton administration, and which virtually led to the deregulation of the banking system, laying the groundwork for the meltdown of financial markets under the Bush administration.
All right, I want you to break it down, and it's all there publicly in view, but it's still, even though we knew this was coming, to watch them, first let's get into how they engineered this, then they pose as saviors, they terrorize the Congress and say, pass this or we'll have depression. Then they take the trillion plus, not 800 billion, and give it directly to themselves to buy healthy institutions like Franklin Federal here in Texas, not ailing ones, and then they give it to themselves as cash bonuses. I mean, this is unparalleled, and now Obama, he is one of the architects of this and helped ram it through last month. Now he's coming in promising to give them even more power and have a world regulatory system run by the very inner group of banks that orchestrated all of this. So we're really seeing the birth of the world government by the private banks with a nice carbon tax on top of it paid directly to them.
Well, precisely. This is a project of the major financial houses on Wall Street. It's a project which purports to centralize management of the financial system, both nationally and internationally, in the hands of a few big fish: Bank America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup. I think what is worth mentioning here is the logic behind this bailout. Because when you actually pay money to the banks, you do it from the public purse, which means that you have to run a big deficit. Either you run a big deficit or you cut all other expenditures across the board. You run up the public debt. And the public debt in the United States is now of the order of $10 or $11 trillion. And if you have another trillion, which is in handouts to the banks, that means the public debt goes up. And then what do? You ask the banks to lend you the money so that you can pay the bailout. Now, that is the very crucial relationship, is to finance the bailout. The U.S. Treasury has to borrow the money. And who do they borrow the money? They borrow it from financial institutions, or they ask the financial institutions to transact and to broker the debt operation, the sale of treasury bills, government bonds all over the world. Okay, so that in effect, what the government is doing is financing its own indebtedness. It is handing money to its creditors. And then his creditors are saying, well, we will lend you the money, and then with the money that we lend you, you can finance the bailout, okay? That's what's happening. And it's a circular relationship. It's absurd. And what does it do? It can do one of two things. One, it can literally push the public debt, I mean, spiraling public debt, going from, let's say, from it won't go from 11 to 12, it will go much further, because the deflationary impact of this financial operation on the real economy is devastating. So when you have less people working, companies going bankrupt, they don't pay taxes, okay? So revenues are going to collapse. State revenues are going to collapse. And the way in which you can finance this deficit is either curtailing every single category of expenditure which served the broader public, health, education, urban infrastructure, you name it, okay? Or you can literally run a very large deficit, which then means a major public debt operation, and there the banks will literally strangle you, because they will actually control the whole state apparatus. I think we're going towards a combination of both. Rising deficit and public debt on the one hand, and a massive curtailment of all categories of public expenditure in a scenario where the real economy is collapsing.
Well, that's
and
what
then what
saying.
Do they do, these banks? They mm-hmm. take the bailout, and, as you suggested, and they start buying out other financial institutions, but they will also be buying out the real economy. General Motors, you name it. I mean, airlines, hotel chains, they got so much cash that they can literally buy out what we describe as the real economy.
So it's a consolidation, and on the surface, as we learned at Bilderberg almost 3 years ago, they were going to cut off liquidity to the general economy, call it a crisis, terrorize governments into handing over governmental power. So it's not the government taking over the banks. It's the banks becoming the true bosses of the government. And
absolutely.
And then continuing, and I want you to comment on this, Professor, and then continuing to cut off liquidity, to deepen it, while using the media they own to tell the people that everything's fine, and they're using Obama and his change as the cover to get this cemented through. So speak more to that, Professor, and then the $64 million question, will they be successful?
Obama is providing... In fact, a smokescreen for this whole operation. It's a neoliberal agenda with a so-called human face. He has a populist rhetoric. It appeals to people. He sounds very sincere. From a personal point of view, I think he's certainly an improvement over George W. Bush. He's educated. I think he has a certain feeling and commitment. But the kind of people who are supporting him and financing his campaign have other types of feelings. And what you describe is exactly what is happening. The liquidity, the credit is being cut off to virtually every single productive unit across the land, to any kind of public or community-based initiative, municipal governments, grassroots organizations, state, local government, federal government agencies, health, education, etc., school boards. And essentially what's happening is that all types of debts, private, public debts, are going to simply skyrocket leading to bankruptcies, strings of bankruptcies. Municipal debts will go up. I mean, we know about Orange County. We're going to have lots of Orange Counties all over the land. And eventually what they want to do is to privatize the municipalities as well. I mean, that's the ultimate objective is to privatize urban space, roads. It'll be a whole bunch of
but it's not even privatizing. They're just handing it over, looting everything. They say they're going to grab the 83 interstate highways in the U.S. and hand them to multinationals as international zones to Texas, North American Union, mass corruption. What about these youth brigades and million-man spy forces and compulsory service? I mean, he had that on his website, change.gov, and then pulled it, and now his people are saying it didn't exist. I mean, this is crazy.
I didn't see that, but it's clear that the various pieces of legislation and presidential directives which were implemented during the Bush administration, which established the contours of a police state, are still there, and they will be used to appease any kind of protest movement against this economic policy. This is an absolutely devastating economic agenda. And if you look at the candidates, the people who are envisaged to occupy key positions, but specifically the Treasury Secretary,
we're
talking about people who already have a track record. The front runner for the position to head the U.S. Treasury Department is Lawrence Summers. Okay, now he's a distinguished professor at Harvard University. He's a former president of Harvard, but he's better known. He was with the World Bank for quite a while, he was also
the
Secretary
Treasury.
Of the Treasury in the last year and a half of the Clinton administration, and he played a key role in lobbying Congress for the repeal of what is called the Glass-Steagall Act. Okay, the Glass-Steagall Act was enacted during the Roosevelt administration. It was essentially a mechanism to retain a certain level of sanity in the banking system to prevent people from speculating and essentially that kind of...
It didn't let banks and insurance companies and brokerage firms mix, which they've now
correct.
Done.
Yeah.
Stay there. We're going to come back and talk about it. Look, bottom line. A private inner circle of central banks, the folks that own the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England, they changed the laws under Clinton. Bush continued it right into their new guy, Barkey, as they call him. You got the public totally like zombies crying their eyes out thinking everything's fine. They have no idea that Barack Obama is total New World Order. And they're talking about staging terror attacks for him so he can grandstand there, going into more countries. He's telling the left now, get ready, I'm going to do stuff you're not going to like. Professor Chasadosky, what do you think those things are going to be? What do you see happening in the future?
Well, I see certainly a continuity in U.S. foreign policy. The same group of people, well, not quite the same group of people. Now you have Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is the godfather of the Democrats, going back to the Carter administration. I think, in a sense, I feel a little bit safer with Obama than with George W. Bush, because if it's a choice of let's say an all-out war in the Middle East on the one hand, and a nuclear war on the other hand, that kind of choice is still important to make. I think that the thrust of U.S. foreign policy is the same. And it goes back to the Truman Doctrine. It's there to gain hegemony. We're talking about hegemony in the military sphere as well as in the spheres of finance and
banking.
But
that's only for the bankers, not for us, the people. We pay for it all and get nothing.
Absolutely. Now, I think what's very important is in a week from now, we're going to have this major financial summit in Washington, D.C., and I think that what is going to be proposed, at least by the U.S. administration, is a unipolar financial system, which will be dominated by a handful of U.S. or maybe perhaps a handful of U.S., European, British financial institutions, rather than some kind of a multipolar system where you trade with China, Russia, and
it's going to be a new heavily centralized world reserve currency made up of a basket of select currencies with this private banking group carrying out governmental operations.
Well, I think the agenda is literally to destabilize any competing world currency, including the euro, for that matter. Whether they will achieve that objective is another matter, because the dollar, we know that the dollar is heavily overextended. Dollar-denominated debts are in the trillions. The Chinese and the Japanese hold those debts. But at the same time, we must understand that China in 2001 opened up its entire banking system to foreign banks. In fact, in a bilateral agreement which was signed prior to its entry to the World Trade Organization, so that will these other regional powers have the capabilities of doing something else? Brazil, there was a meeting last week in Brazil of the group of 20, the G20, which includes some of the regional powers as well. But in effect, if you look at Latin America as a whole, and you look at Brazil in particular, I don't see any alternative alternative banking structure. Venezuela, perhaps, with its project of the Banco del Sur, the Bank of the South, but in effect, the United States holds these countries in you know, politically they're very much in the, they're very much controlled by the United States, and economically they're controlled by the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. So we're not, and I don't see that Barack Obama will change this agenda in any way.
But he'll make us feel good about being financially slaughtered, and that's what's important. It's not actually being free; it's smiling. It's having somebody who smiles at me while they slit my throat. So that's why I think Obama's so much worse. With Bush, you had this translucent skin little demon, you know, who just radiated stench.
No, that's correct. I mean, what the Obama,
well, that's what I'm saying. With Obama, he can get more
through. What the administration will do is it will use the rhetoric to confuse people. It will say, well, we're here to pursue the interests of Main Street America. We're going to look after the unemployed, the poor. We're going to create jobs.
Stay there, and then do the opposite. Final segment, and then your phone call. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns.
All right, I'm just going to do about six more minutes with the professor.
The ring of fire.
And then we're going to be taking your phone calls, Patrick,
burns,
Brandon,
burns,
Scott,
burns,
Arthur, and others. The toll-free number to join us. Open phones for the balance of the broadcast, 1-800-259-9231. And I'll tell you about some of the stuff coming up after our guest leaves us here in a few minutes, some of the other news stories and information that we're going to be covering. Professor, you got cut off by the break there. You were talking about Obama will confuse people with the rhetoric. It's all this talk about change and hope and helping people. And I wasn't for McCain either, but McCain actually said, let's give some of the bailout to people. Let's just forgive some mortgages you know, at least for the amount that they're claiming is a bad loan. And Obama said no. And it literally is just giving our money we pay for in tax money and devaluation to them. I mean, the level of this heist and all these editorials about how the Bill of Rights is back and the Constitution's back, but it isn't. And he's appointing all these people that are always attacking the Bill of Rights, and he's going to keep all these powers. And so it's a cementing of everything George Bush got done, and the left is just dancing around drunkenly.
Well, that's correct. I think that the left has an allegiance to a political party, namely the Democrats, and the Democrats have an allegiance. They have an allegiance to Wall Street in the same way as the Republicans. It's the bipartisan consensus. And we can see this very clearly. I mean, the transition team is made up of bankers and politicians. There's not a single, I mean, is there somebody from organized labor or from community organizations? Are they African American leaders? Are they prominent feminists? No, there's a bunch of bankers.
Yeah, there's
CEOs.
there's not even tokens in there. I mean,
there's not even tokens. I haven't gone through the complete. I mean, there's the various lists there, but I certainly looked at the list of the candidates for the position of Secretary of the Treasury
or his advisory panel with Paul Volcker and every other.
Sure. Well, some of the people on the advisory panel are also candidates for positions. So, you know, but that's not unusual. I think that first of all, one has to understand what might be an alternative agenda. There's some people, Kucinich definitely Nader have alluded to the possibilities of an alternative economic agenda. As an economist, if one wanted to tame the markets, the first thing I'd do would to freeze all speculative instruments. It's a very easy thing to do. You simply freeze speculative trade. In other words, derivatives.
And you
restore, in a sense, the hegemony of the real economy over the financial sector rather than the reverse.
Instead, they're feeding the entire real economy into the maw of the very creature that caused the problem to begin with.
Exactly, because for the last, I'd say, well, it goes back to the Reagan administration, but the sources of enrichment have been within the financial system, mainly through insider information and speculation on the movement of stocks using index funds, options, short selling, and so on and so forth, so that when the market goes down, you make money. When it goes up, you make money, etc. And essentially what we've seen happen in the last couple of months is a massive transfer of wealth from ordinary Americans, their savings, their lifelong savings that they invested in the stock market, confiscated and transferred to the hedge funds.
All right, here's my final
question. Then what happens is that all this money is then used to buy up everything, real economy, General Motors, the airlines, and so on.
Well, Professor, in closing with you, the public's already mad. 1,001 phone calls against the banker takeover. What is going to happen when the public finds out they've been betrayed again and that the entire economy has been fed into the hands of the international banking syndicate? I mean, is it just they have militarized police? They just keep their foot on our throats? We go into a long, dark depression, and then we just become like every other third world country and worldwide? That's your new world order? Is this international system of banks above the slaves? I mean, is that basically it?
Well, I think people are going to resist this. I think that this process, which is now taking place, is very visible. Obama has not yet entered the presidency, and he has already made alliances with a whole series of people and wealthy individuals, with banks and corporations and so on. He hasn't signified any real shift as far as Middle East foreign policy is concerned. He's still threatening Iran. I think people are going to wake up across America, and there's going to be a very significant protest movement, very different from what we might have seen during the Bush administration. People are going to come to realize that party politics is not the answer to meaningful change. They must understand that the bipartisan system, Democrats and Republicans, is not democracy. It in fact forecloses the possibility of any kind of real democracy. And how this protest movement is going to unfold is very difficult to predict, but I think it's going to happen. And it won't come from the left necessarily. It'll come from the grassroots, from mainstream America, once they start realizing that they have been taken in, deceived by the rhetoric, and imposed an economic agenda which ultimately impoverishes them and destroys their livelihood.
But they're going to turn loose the Obama Youth Corps as their kind of fake rabble, or like the UN points to non-governmental organizations and says, see, they're the people. But really, it's a rent-a-mob of young, unemployed, dumbed-down people that think that those protesting Obama are the ones that have caused heaven to not materialize on earth. And the Denver police just admitted Friday in the Denver Post that they staged riots at the DNC. They went out and attacked cops so that they could, it's just to realize the government is that evil. I mean, they get caught constantly doing this. The government really doesn't like free speech. They really don't like freedom. I mean, we really do have an evil government. And they just don't care. They're going to steal all the money. They're going to increase the amount of paramilitary police. They're going to turn mindless Obamanoids loose on us. Professor, one thing's for sure, this is going to be a really interesting road we're going down, and people can learn a lot more about your great analysis and the great writers you've got at globalresearch.ca, and we appreciate you coming on with us.
Well, thank you very much. People should visit our website, globalresearch.ca. We're based in Montreal, and we very much also appreciate your support.
Well, Professor, I'm going to be making a film soon about all the things that are happening, and I want to fly up there or fly you down here and interview you for it. And, Professor, we really appreciate you. Take care.
Thank you very much.
You bet. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. People accuse me a lot without ever giving any evidence of exaggerating or of trying to scare people. Folks, I'm not a very worldly person. You know, I'm sick today. I have a chest cold, a head cold. Well, it feels worse right now. It feels like it's going into the flu or something. But I'll be fine if I just get home and get some sleep. And I'm not whining about myself. The point is, I didn't get out of bed at 6:30 in the morning today sick after shivering all night, with whatever it is I've got, because I like coming up here and being a big shot. I got out of bed this morning to come down here because I know that every day I'm not in prison, every day I'm not gunned down, every day that they haven't completely brought us into a depression is a good day. And I know this isn't a game or a joke. I mean, it's so bad that I can't even articulate it. I mean, I can get some economist on from Canada, or I can separately have Dr. Corsi on. I can have an award-winning economist on. They'll tell you the same thing. I mean, it's in the Boston Globe. It's in the Associated Press. It's on MSNBC, CNN, the London Telegraph, that they are setting up a world government run for and by the banks, where they're going to micromanage every facet of our lives through these bureaucracies, through national ID cards. It's all being unified, decades in the making, by bankers who engineer depressions. I mean, we have their documents. We have their reports. They will destroy us because to them it's just cold-blooded numbers. It's fraud. It's criminal. It's evil. It's malicious. And it's unspeakable, and you're never going to hear Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity talk about this because they'll be off the air in a minute, all those thousand plus AM and FMs that those guys are on together. They're there to act conservative, make fun of liberals, act like liberals are just dumb idiots, and they are at the grassroots, just like mainline conservatives are. They're part of a false paradigm. But they're there to tell you there's no North American Union, there's no banking government. When it's in the news being announced by them, I mean, if Rush Limbaugh went on air and said there's a new world order, we've got to stop it, that guy has probably 30, 40 million people that are fans. 25 million on average tune in every week. Imagine. But see, he's been telling people for 15 years that it doesn't exist every show. And all these good conservatives, mainline, people that found out it's true, they call it and they go, Rush. And he plays kooky music in the background and says, you're a nut. And that's because they've got all the dirt on Rush. The women, the drugs, that guy's a party animal. And, he's a rock and roll jock, big party animal that found out a shtick. And I listen to him deceiving his listeners. It's so funny to him. And he taunts them and flaunts them and makes fun of them on his own show. And this makes me want to puke. I mean, he just got another $300-something million contract. I hope those 20 pieces of silver are good for you, pal. And so his listeners hear this show and they think, oh, well, there can't be a North American Union. Rush says there isn't. Or there can't be a New World Order because Rush says there isn't. And then it's all about Republicans and Democrats. I mean, I heard him last night, WOAI was re-airing him out of San Antonio. I'm going to go to your calls in a minute. They were re-airing him, and he was talking about how John McCain's a liberal, and John McCain sold out the campaign, and how John McCain's own campaign people are destroying Sarah Palin, and talking about her, buying clothes at Neiman Marcus on campaign money, and how they're trying to destroy her because she's a real conservative leader. And see, that's all true. But he's telling you when it's too late. See, it doesn't matter now. He can tell you how you could have won the game back during the game, but he's going to tell you after. Of course, Rush Limbaugh could go up and say, oh, look, all these British newspapers reported that McCain illegally went to Lord Rothschild's palace and raised something like $5 million in one night, and every contribution was a felony. They're non-U.S. citizens. But see, the corporate media, it's not the liberal media. They're owned by the military-industrial complex, the private defense contractors that run the military. That's part of a psyop that they're these little idiot liberals. They don't want you to know that McCain went and took illegal contributions. It's not going to be about that now. It's going to be about, Sarah Palin bought some clothes at Neiman Marcus. So that's something the average sheep can understand. That's being rich, is buying a skirt at Neiman Marcus. It's not stealing trillions of dollars. Or it's not going to the Rothschild Palace. Because Rothschilds don't exist, Limbaugh says. I remember him about 12 years ago. He would still say the CFR didn't exist. That was before they'd go on C-SPAN and admit what they were doing. And I'm not even here attacking Rush Limbaugh. He's his own worst enemy. Went deaf taking so many painkillers that it, killed the nerves in his... That's what OxyContin does. I mean, he's in his own prison. A worldly, self-centered person, been married, three times, never had any children, because he's so selfish. He has no idea. And, he's there to sell conservatives out. Just like Barack Obama is there to sell liberals out. And I don't care what you say. You can call me a communist because I'm against the North American Union, or you can say I'm a liar and it doesn't exist. When Judicial Watch sued and we got all the minutes, the first thing on the agenda was how to keep it secret from the public. I mean, I don't have time for this childlike behavior of the Barack Obama supporters just running around worshiping this person who was a puppet. Coming up, when we go live on PrisonPlanet.tv next hour, I'm going to show you just in about 3 minutes at my parents' house all of the news articles that I just picked up in one pile. Because my mother reads it and it goes right in the recycle bin that's right by the birdcage, because she uses part of a birdcage. Now, that is the proper use for mainstream media. But I didn't have to fish this out of the birdcage. And it was just every newspaper article, every magazine, about how Obama is saving the Bill of Rights. All lies. But to the childlike public, they want to be lied to. And that's what's frustrating about it, is that it's like talking to children and you're trying to explain to them. I remember one time when my daughter was like 2 years old. We were at this hotel that had a balcony. It was like four stories down, and I was out there, and she kept trying to climb up on it. And I said, honey, that's dangerous if you fall off that. So we ended up, you know, just closing the door and locking it. But the point is, now she knows it's dangerous. She's older. But it's like children with the American people. This stuff is not complex. And they just are invested in Rush Limbaugh. They're invested in Barack Obama. And they aren't going to listen. They are at their own peril. Forget peril. I mean, you're being screwed by this right now. We'll come back and take your calls after this quick break. Stay with me.
They railed against the crown. Another ragtag band declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody wall.
Patrick, Brandon, Scott, Arthur, Vicky, your calls are coming up right now.
Descendants.
Again, early in the next hour, I'm going to show you just a few editorials of cartoons where Obama's fixing the Constitution, bringing liberty back. No evidence of that. It's all to the contrary. Attacking liberty at every front. The Second Amendment. He's now promising to go after the borders with amnesty. The torture, the secret arrest, all those powers, the wars, the warrantless wiretapping, it all stays. But now the media is going to depoliticize it, so now it won't be an issue, and that will cement it. Before we go to your calls, I want to tell you about eFoods Direct, ladies and gentlemen, the longest continually operating storable foods company in the nation. Right at 28 years, it's where I've gotten my storable foods. They're freeze-dried and dehydrated, so they keep all of their nutritive value, and a lot of food stores in very small containers, so it's very easy to store. It lasts more than 10 years in climate control, but if it's in your garage or attic like it is in my house, then it lasts for 10 years guaranteed. 800-409-5633. Give them a call today and get a free catalog, or go ahead and order some food. 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com online. Big banners at the top of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Patrick in North Carolina, thanks for holding here on the air.
Hey, I just had a couple questions about Obama. First of all, what was that, was it called the Fairness Doctrine? That was basically about censorship that he supports?
Yes, there'd never been anything like that in the United States until the 40s and 50s. And because there was no real editorializing on radio and TV, there were just a few preachers on the radio that would do some editorializing. And because the corporations had consolidated everything down to just a few owners, that they just told them, okay, you can't make any political statements during campaigns. You know, your news readers can't comment. Well, now that there's been the proliferation of telecommunications and more media outlets, in the mid-80s, people started complaining. There were lawsuits. The Fairness Doctrine was found to be unconstitutional. And, of course, everything they do, you know, the Patriot Act is unpatriotic, so they call it patriotic.
Right.
You know, these all have Orwellian names, like the New Freedom Initiative is to force drug half the population of the U.S. I mean, and, but how is that new freedom? I mean, it's all Orwellian, but no, they want to bring in a fairness doctrine where you can't criticize them where there's no First Amendment. I mean, and they're not kidding. They're saying they're going to do it. But that's called bringing the Bill of Rights back.
I just wanted to look that up. My other question is about the Obama Youth Brigades. You mentioned that they are basically like spies, and I was wondering if you had any specifics on what exactly, what kind of tabulations they would be keeping on people.
Okay, well, there's a bunch of different divisions of these, and they've expunged a lot of this off of the campaign site, but we have screenshots of it up at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Big article Paul Watson did on it today. But what they're going to do is, the youth brigades are separate. I mean, I oversimplify it. Let's just, you know what? Let me just do this. Let me just go to change.gov, and then I can read it to you directly from there. But it
says... Sorry, I was just going to say, don't worry about that. I'll go check that out. I just wanted to know, like, specifically what they would be keeping track of. But that's probably a really hard
question. No. I mean, I'll be more than happy to tell you. In fact, we'll start the next hour, and we will... I want to get rid of all the callers that have been holding the longest first. Then I'll get into how the spies are already operating and what they'll do. They're just announcing it under Lord Obama. Gold is up by $13.20 today. A little bit of economic news coming up later. But I said open phones in this fourth and final hour. 1-800-259-9231. We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv right now. Also, I've been telling the story all day, but I'm going to show it later in the hour. I was at my parents' house. I'm mainly an internet person. There's not a lot of newspapers and magazines around the house anymore. I read them all online, but I was rummaging through their stuff. And it's just every magazine, every newspaper, It has Barack Obama saving the earth, saving the Bill of Rights, saving the Constitution. And South Park last week did a piece making fun of it, and they're not even exaggerating. I mean, it's people just saying, all my problems are solved. Barack Obama is God. In fact, I want to show one of these on the document cam now. We'll show more later. And I literally dug around for about 3 minutes. This is just everywhere. I'm sure you're seeing this. In fact, mail them in to me at the mailing address on the website, and I'll do a whole show in the future just showing all the magazine articles and editorials where he's God. If you look at this shot, it's on the document cam at PrisonPlanet.tv. This is out of Newsweek magazine. There he is putting the Constitution with all these little pieces of tape, and he's putting the last piece in dutifully. He's got his tape, and he's in the Oval Office, and day one, he's putting it back together. Folks, this guy wants compulsory national service, gun control, disarming you. That's ripping huge pieces out of the Constitution. I mean, how much of this do we have to put up with? How much crap do we have to put up with? Well, I'm going to be exposing Mr. Obama. Not that he runs anything, but as the front man, how much they can get through on their agenda. I mean, I would love to... be able to like Barack Obama, but, you know, I'm sorry. I would have loved to have been able to like George Bush, but I'm about policies and what they actually do versus rhetoric. So there is your savior, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be going over that later in the hour. Right now, let's go ahead and go back to your calls. Pull my call list up here. Let's talk to Brandon in New York. You're on the air, Brandon.
Hey, Alex. How you doing today?
Pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show. I have been listening to you for quite some time now, and I would also like to thank you for opening my mind, sir. People like you that are actually doing greatness for the people in the United States, unlike the scumbag elites that are trying to control us. I'm actually talking to you today because I'm up here in New York at what is dubbed by the common people as Mission Control. We're a hub that basically monitors the Internet. And I found an article today that I think you would be really interested in. It's in the Los Angeles Times. And it's basically showing how there are different corporations such as AT&T, Comcast, Time Warner, Fairpoint. And what they're doing is they're actually putting a cap on the Internet and how much information you can actually bring into and from your ISP.
Yeah, provider. No, that's getting rid of that's getting rid of net neutrality. They're also going to restrict the number of sites you can visit. And people are emailing me saying I'm conspiracy theorying when it's admitted by them, and governments are saying they're encouraging ISPs and providers like Comcast and others and Time Warner to now shut people off. I mean, it's already happening.
It is. And there's Cyblock proxies, there's Cyvin proxies for reporting servers, log analyze servers. I mean, the general public should know. Anytime you're on the Internet, all those things are being recorded. Don't think that your ISP provider isn't looking into all the information that you're looking up. And also, don't think that by them not putting a cap on it, that, you know, if I sit here and listen to Mr. Alex Jones' show every day, that eats up 5 gigs of my Internet cap. If they close down my cap, does that mean I'm not going to get to listen to those shows? And if I have actually gone over that cap, it says right here in the report that the ISP will completely cut my connection off.
And let's be specific. You signed up and are paying for that, and then I'm paying to stream it to you. They're just hijacking the web, just like they're hijacking our entire banking system right now, and literally feeding the Treasury and all of our currency and our tax money directly into themselves. I mean, folks, they're going for broke. They're taking it all down right now. Stay there.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back live, and we were talking to one of the callers who was discussing the fact that his ISP is restricting the amount of downloads, the amount of data he can take onto his computer. And again, these are pitiful amounts of bandwidth. His subscription way more than pays for it. But in most towns, even big cities, you'll have two or three providers you can go through for fast downloads, for fast connections. You can get your DSL, the phone company, your cable modem, maybe another choice. But it's really three or four companies all over North America, three or four in Europe, and they're all getting together and saying, we're not going to let you visit most websites. We're not going to let you download that much material. We're going to track what you do. Take Austin, Texas. When you type in a wrong website now, you don't get a computer error on your computer. You get a computer error on the Time Warner server. And they log everything you do. They track everything you do. The government's plugged right in. They watch it all. Your digital cable box watches everything you watch, creates a record of that for psychological makeup. And then they argue with you and say, we're not listening to any of your phone calls. And, of course, it turns out they're listening to everything. And it's criminal what they're doing. But they just don't care. Anything else, Brandon from New York?
I would just like these elite scumbags to know that there's a coalition of elite hackers out there in this world that aren't sensitized, that are about the freedom of information and everything that's going on in this world. We know all about your site proxy programs. We're just waiting to drop our viruses into your servers and destroy all that information right from the get-go so we can open the Internet back up to where it should have been. Not paid for, free, by the people, for all the information and everybody to get, just like it was in the beginning. And now there's Silicon Valley insiders that are out there working for us and not against us.
Well, that's right. As the tyranny gets worse and worse, as the people find out what's really happened, I mean, did you hear the poor guy in the first hour? And I believe him. He's going to send it all to me. He wanted to get a clerical job at the FBI, and they said, okay, we're going to hire you. And then they came and said, oh, sorry, we did more research on you. You visit Alex Jones's website. And the guy's like, well, how do you know this? Well, it's just amazing. I had years ago a lawyer involved exposing a bunch of corruption in Arkansas dealing with Bill Clinton murders from way back then and then tied into Oklahoma City. And then when he was in a lawsuit with the feds, there were his emails to me like a decade ago in the file because it was all being grabbed. I mean, folks, explain to people, though, what they're setting up and what they're doing. See, that's why the web's slowing down. They're placing all their hubs, all their snoopers in front of it, so you've got to go through their switchers. You want to explain that to them?
Yeah. Basically, what happened is when Microsoft took over a corporation, okay, they started designing computers so that you had access to the Internet through a phone line, okay? And that's how the Internet started out. Well, as everything came along and technology progressed, they started taking out these little things like your DOS running programs in your computer or your hyperlink terminals in your computer because phone lines were obsolete. And the reason that they were doing that was because they had no monitoring system through a phone line or a DSL. It was tracked just like back in the early 90s when people used to do things like phone phreaking and call for free long distance. And when the government figured out that we could still get our information and it couldn't be monitored, they automatically switched everything over into an ISP-protected network. And when that happened, they started raping you of your information from the get-go. And I would say that was probably somewhere in the midst of 97 until current.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, and they've got complete files on everybody. Now, don't let that intimidate you. They're the crooks. They're the dirty, peeping Toms watching what you do, looking at what you do, in your bank accounts. They're the bad guys. They are the criminals. It's just disgusting.
You know, I would just like to let the American public know one thing. These people on the Internet that get blasted as hackers that are, you know, you see them cracking IDS security database and other such things, the American people need to know that these people are fighting for you and your freedoms. We're not the scumbag elite. We're trying to keep the information highways free so that you people can get this information. See, the general code of hacker elites usually work as, we won't do anything unless there's a probable cause for it. Well, now the government's giving us a probable cause to defend ourselves.
Well, we wouldn't have the Internet today if it wasn't for the hackers defending it for the last 20 years. And we know a lot of the bad hacking that we've seen has led right back to the feds provocateuring it, or every time they want to restrict free speech or pass a hate law, we've caught them putting child porn out, putting Nazi stuff out, you know, going and hacking.
Anything tied to the U.S. Department of Justice, Homeland Security, any sort of the military branches, Air Force, Navy, anything. That's right. And it's staged just as much as Barack Obama's staged. You know, Alex, I would like to make a statement here and say, if there was a messiah in our world, I would have to say it's you. Promoting everything that we need to know instead of the crap that's being filtered through TV that everybody eats up. It makes me absolutely disgusting to look at the TV and see the one. No person that's an elected official in the country of the United States should be promoted as Jesus Christ. And that scares me.
I hear you, my friend. Good to hear from you. Call back again, Brandon. I want to get to Scott, Arthur, Vicky, Aaron, because these calls are all so interesting. You want to hear the next one. And if you go too long, you don't get to hear the next one, but then you don't get to spend enough time with the last person. In fact, I had so many points I wanted to make, and then he said that thing about me, and it made me laugh, and I forgot him. The elites are ruthless. They're hurting us really, really bad right now. But they can't carry out their crimes and have a free Internet. So that's why they're trying to shut it down right now. And they are. And that's why, folks, you should take the fact that you can see Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement online for free as something really valuable. You should take the fact that you can see Terror Storm or Loose Change Final Cut for free. They don't want that to happen for long. They've expunged it off of a lot of different servers and sites. You know, I'm so busy covering the news and things, I don't even really get into my films, but that's really a big part of the solution. And we may have to go back to, you know, hand-to-hand giving people videos and books and things. as our only means, because the establishment is moving in to try to block our free speech. But the point I wanted to make is we've caught the government many times doing the hacks, doing the malicious things, you know, hacking hospitals and saying, oh, the hacker tried to turn off the power at the hospital so the old people would die. Folks, 99% of the time, that's government. I mean, is there some mentally ill person out there that would try something like that? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But every time we track it back, it's the cops. I mean, I remember we're pulling into Denver. I'm talking to We Are Change, a 9/11 Truth activist, and they said these guys were cops. They were pushing people. They were hitting people. They started a fight. And then we got there, and we witnessed people that were clearly cops stirring stuff up. And I went on air and said that witnesses saw Marines causing a riot one night, dressed up like anarchists, but getting out of white vans marked, you know, U.S. government. It's now in the Denver Post. We've got to make this a big story that they just admit. The cops go, yeah, we had officers out there dressed up like protesters, and we had them attack police. I mean, let that sink in out there, folks. I'm not here bashing the police. I want the police on our side. I want them to say no to all this. But I happen to know the feds bombed the World Trade Center the first time. I mean, that's even publicly admitted. They cooked the bomb, trained the drivers, gave them the detonators. You know, they found two nuts to do it, but it was their idea. They created it. They got the informants. They went out and organized and led the attack. So, what am I supposed to do? Just ignore that? And the feds bombed Oklahoma City. I mean, they just outright bombed it themselves. BATF did. And then the feds did 9/11. And I mean, and it's in the Army field manuals. It's in two of them. One of them just got declassified. And every time I mention this, people don't believe me and then go pull it up themselves. And it talks about false flag torture, staging terror attacks. I mean, the Army field manual for captains and above tells them how to stage terror attacks. I mean, it's in the manual. I'm sick of it. And I mean, do listeners think I'm having fun going up against these people? No, I'm not stupid. I mean, you think I like getting up here on air and that I enjoy standing up to these people? Believe me, folks, I'm a big fish. It's the only reason I'm not in prison or dead. And they may just say, you know, we don't care and kill me anyways, because they don't care now, folks. They're taking all the money out of the banks. They're stealing everything. They're restricting free speech. They got local cops in Minnesota and Denver ready to follow federal orders to go out and attack other cops to blame it on the American people. I mean, the system is broken. And it comes out in the newspaper and nobody gets in trouble. I'm going to skip this break because I'm so far behind. I want to continue with your phone calls. So here we go for folks on PrisonPlanet.tv.
Of the 3 million...
Scott in Oregon, you're on the air. Welcome.
You get feeling better.
Yeah, I've been hitting the cough button quite a bit here as those long pauses, but thank you.
Well, I'm calling from Central Oregon. And I'm calling to give a report and plus two questions for you. One report is I've been making contact with my emergency management crew here in Oregon. I've been contacting the state and local police. I have two National Guard stations here in my Central Oregon area. I've went to the administration of the National Guard here, and I asked the CO there, do you know anything about the upcoming martial law, Rex 84, Operation Garden Plot, and Cable Splicer? Can you believe all these agencies, they all acted stupid, like I was crazy, okay? Then I go down to the training facility here for a National Guard, and I walked right into the barracks, and I walked right up to the CO's desk, and I talked to him for a minute, and he acted stupid. And then it's a, and I told him I was proud to be a Red Lister. And in, and he jokingly laughed and said, if you're a Red Lister, I will shoot you.
Oh, no, it's all about their personal power. See, they're looking forward.
Yeah.
They're looking forward to it like it's deer hunting. They want to ride around with miniguns in the backs of trucks laughing like they did in Iraq, just shooting us off the road. And there'll be lots of families out with flags waving it. They're fighting the domestic white al-Qaeda. Get them. Let the bankers have all our money.
Yeah, and he tried to deny it and tried to act stupid. And then at the end of it, I said, I'm going to be a Red Lister. And he goes, well, laughingly, trying to make a joke of it, if you're a Red Lister, I'll have to shoot you. You know, so... Anyway, and after I made...
And you hadn't mentioned anything about Red List to him.
Excuse me?
You hadn't mentioned anything about Red List to him.
Well, after he played stupid and I told him to Google right there, I said, turn on your computer. I go, well, it is on. I said, clear off the screen and type in Red List, Blue List. And he looked at it for about 2 seconds and turned around and goes, well, if you're a Red Lister, I'm going to have to shoot you. And then he laughed. Of course, I didn't take that too kindly, you know. After, this was 2 weeks ago. Now, after I've made my visits and my contacts with the emergency management, the National Guard, the state and local police, I immediately start getting phone calls from survey groups, the Gallup polls, people trying to take polls and ask me questions. And their questions were so sensitive that it was just, it was insane. Pretty much, how many people live in your house? How strong are you? Can you do physical this or that? Can, or, you know, how much do you weigh? How tall are you? And to me, and I'm asking you this a question, I believe and I feel with all my heart that this is all going into a database on people getting polls that's calling their houses to ask them sensitive information that is going into a database.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, that's why 1 in 5 houses gets the extended, there's different variants of it, the extended census.
Yes.
Where it asks, you know, how many toilets, how many guns you got.
Yes.
I remember all that?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's all going in databases because the bankers that own our government, their business is controlling slaves. Their business is managing us, the slaves. It is not making or manufacturing anything. And so everything they do is about how to control us, how to dumb us down, how to divide us. Scott, I appreciate your call. Here we go. All right, I want to hurry through your calls because I want to get into a bunch of news and the Barack Obama worship that I've been witnessing. Into this house we're born. Let's go ahead and talk to Arthur in New Jersey. Arthur, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just want to... I do see a New World Order, but I do not see a Western-controlled New World Order. You know, if China and Japan dumped their treasuries tomorrow, the dollar would be completely worthless, and the U.S. would essentially go into bankruptcy. What I do see in the future is that you're going to have the U.S. go bankrupt, and you have them, these foreign countries that have holdings in U.S. treasuries, essentially it's going to be a bankruptcy liquidation. You're going to see U.S. corporations being sold out to these foreign countries.
Well, that's exactly what the New World Order is.
Except, hang on, it's not the New World Order per se. Oswald Spengler wrote in The Decline of the West, it's a great book, that their civilizations go in cycles, and that the Western civilization is currently in its winter, which means it's currently on its deathbed, essentially, and that it will not be able to survive. It's lost its culture. It's lost its ideals. Essentially, it's a form of second religiousness, which lost its original faith, the Western interpretation of Christianity, and essentially it's morally bankrupt. And Spengler compared the Western man, he compared it to the Faustian man from Goethe's Faust. Essentially what they're doing is they're selling out their soul for a few quick bucks, when in reality what's going to happen is the ramifications are just the U.S. is going to essentially collapse, and it's not just the U.S., there are also other Western European countries too. and this includes Canada. Actually, you just saw Russia giving Iceland a bridge loan about a month ago, and you're also seeing Russia giving loans to Venezuela, Nicaragua, Cuba, and there's no turning back. If you look
let me just stop you right there. You know, it's easy to sit here and say this is all just a cycle and there's not really a new world order. I'm going off all the governmental documents. They said they were going to engineer this economic collapse. They said that they were going to morally bankrupt us so we wouldn't stick together to make us more easily manageable slaves. This is being done by design. Here's Gordon Brown in the London Telegraph today. I'll put this up on the document cam, please. There's Gordon Brown right there. Gordon Brown calls for a new world order to beat recession. Again, the bankers engineer the crisis, and then they offer the solution, which is world government, run for and by the bankers. And so that's what they're setting up. It isn't like it's my opinion. A long time beforehand, we laid out what's going on. So I appreciate your call, Arthur. Vicky in Ohio, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I heard a big beep. I didn't know if I got cut off. Just to make you feel better about it, years ago after 9/11, I started doing some research on the computer about why Islam and Christianity would want to kill each other, both monolithic, that I ran into the conspiracy theorists. North America and I wrote you off as nuts. And then I started looking at what's going on in the news. I'm like, it's all coming true. Now you got my attention. And I gave up on the political system years ago. I just never could put the pieces together. I figured, I don't give a crap who you put in that office. They do anything anyway. But I do have a few questions to make short. And number one, I am an evangelical Christian that knows the Word of God is the Bible. And not to criticize you, I'm trying to get some of the heat off you. There is a verse in Ephesians, don't go around like little sheep. It's in the Bible. Christians, if you don't believe me, check it out. It says, God's command, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. You are right, they are wrong. This is corrupt as hell. Number one, you are doing the right thing.
What exact verse is that in Ephesians?
Ephesians. I'm sorry. I'm so upset right now because my head's about to explode. 5:11 says, God's command, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Instead, expose them. God's law is love.
Absolutely. And if you love people, you're going to...
Love protects the weaker. I don't give a damn who's doing it, your government or what. Love protects the weaker. Number two, they think they're going to get raptured out of here when the Antichrist comes. Wrong story, bad theology. The Bible, and I just want to get some heat off your back. You're going to be here. The Bible, God protects. God promises protection for his people from the plagues he will enforce. If you're not here, you don't need that protection. Baby, I hate to tell you people this. I don't want you with your pants down. If it comes down, your butts are going to be here. You might as well wake up and smell the coffee. God does not need to promise protection for people who are raptured out of here. Yes, there is a rapture, probably just before Christ comes. Bad theology again. And number two, that unilateral support for Israel. I hate to tell you, evangelicals, this. God gave Israel no mandate to go kill innocent Arabs. He says a nation will be born in a day. He meant spiritually born. Israel will repent of Christ coming. You are wrong. God does not approve of slaughtering and murdering innocent Arabs. He loves them too. So you might as well wake up, smell the coffee. You guys are wrong. This guy is right.
Hold on. I'm going to let you finish up on the prisonplanet.tv end of it. We're going to come back and talk to BL and others. Stay with me.
We're on the
march. The empire's on the run. It's the Alex Jones Show on the GCN Radio Network. Again, coming up, I'm going to go through just a few of the editorial cartoons I saw worshiping Obama and some other news articles and calls. But I wanted to get a chance to let you finish up what you were saying. Vicky from Ohio, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Vicky, you're still on the air. We're just on the internet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay,
portion.
I had a couple list of questions. I'm trying not to monopolize your time.
It's not my time. It just, we've got to go ahead and finish up your points.
The food situation, I've been trying to do some independent checking. Are the grocery stores and the farmers getting credit so we'll at least have food in a couple months? Yes or no?
There is all sorts of speculation that's driven up the price of food. There has been food riots in more than 50 countries with shortages. I don't know if that's going to happen here in the United States. I know a lot of people who I trust think that is going on, but I just don't know. I mean, we've got so many supplies of food, so many ways to get food.
Okay, so I don't have to start really
interrupting myself. Well, what I think's clear.
Yes, I said that's one thing you said I can't independently verify, and you never claimed it was true. So
yeah, well, I mean, to be specific, food prices have already gone up a lot. And so I've been saying for the last year, buy food in case we go into a full-bore depression because people starved to death during the last one. Okay, so all I'm saying is it's good in uncertain times to have storable food.
Right, yeah, but is this, I mean, in my position, the stores are going to be bankrupt. I was going to, you know. Okay, number two, I live relatively close to the Canadian border. I keep trying to explain this to people, and they've dumbed down America so much. They don't understand economic theory, finances, how the banking system works. So they don't understand the dollar is close to collapse. And they look at me like I'm nuts, but I have more education, and my IQ is a little bit higher. So I understand. I'm trying to put some material together to explain to them. I live within a very short drive of the Canadian border. I don't have a lot of money. Would Canadian currency be worth anything if the dollar collapses?
You know, there's so many different things the New World Order can do, but they told us in the Trilateral Commission documents, in the IMF and World Bank documents, they told us over and over again, excuse me, getting out that cold, they told us over and over again that they were going to do specific things in specific order. If the dollar collapsed, that would probably not portend well for the loonie. But I just don't know, and I've got to jump. I appreciate your call, Vicky. All right, we're going to come back out of... we're going to come back and take your phone calls here as we go live to the full broadcast. So here we go.
Visit survivalproperty.com. That's survivalproperty.com.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter.
Okay, we're back live. Thanks for joining us. I want to go over the Barack Obama coverage that we've been witnessing. First off, people keep saying everything has changed, everything is different, that we are all saved now. Because Barack Obama is here. They're saying that we can basically all go back to sleep now because he's been elected. And I just see this over and over and over and over again. And people are going to find out things are not different. Other than we've got a new president who's a complete puppet to the very same financial interest. Who he's appointing in his cabinet, his chief of staff, his policies. He was the guy that supported the banker empowerment, banker takeover bill, not one red cent given to the economy. All of it, the banks bragged for bonuses and to buy up other financial institutions and elements of the real economy, which they're now doing. But I was at my parents' house last night eating dinner, and back on the back porch they have a cockatoo. And back there, that's where they put their magazines and newspapers for recycling, and some of it's used for birdcage liners. So I've made the point that literally, this is only good for birdcage liner, and that's what it was intended for. Take this Newsweek here, and I only dug around for about 3 minutes. Then I went to work last night to the radio station, and there were magazines and newspapers laying around. I saw the same thing, and so I know you're seeing it out there yourself. President Barack Obama, this is out of Newsweek magazine. Right here, and I'm going to show this to people on PrisonPlanet.tv on the document cam. And in here, they show him as the savior of the Bill of Rights, the savior of the Constitution. This is the Constitution, we the people, and he's sitting at the Oval Office. I'll put that on screen for people. He is sitting in the Oval Office, lovingly trying to fix it. He's got his little roll of tape there, and he's putting the last piece of the Bill of Rights that's been torn in pieces back together again. So he's the good guy, and right next to it is the evil Dick Cheney and George Bush. They're playing their part. You know, they're being bad. It says, "Golly, Dick, as our time in office comes to a close, I reflect on all we both have accomplished." And then Cheney says, "We didn't get impeached." But that's an interesting point. If we got so much change, then crime should be punished. You know, Bill Clinton was protected by George Bush Sr. George Bush Jr., whenever he got into office, blocked Congressman Dan Burton's committee from going after him for Pardongate of convicted cocaine dealers and others and Chinese generals paying people off in the Commerce Department. But here is this image, Barack Obama lovingly is putting the Constitution back together again. Barack Obama is saying he's going to have youth brigades, a million-man spy force, that they are going to spy more on the American people. He voted for warrantless wiretapping and did not have a Fourth or Fifth Amendment in the U.S., basically. He is saying that we're going to have more wars. The list goes on and on. He's for the phony drug war. You don't hear him saying reform drug laws. Nothing. He's appointing a who's who of Wall Street that have already looted us. He's promising more looting, but they don't care. The simple-minded public can get Newsweek and can pull it open and go, "Oh, gee, he's putting the Constitution back together." Now, actually, in by their dinner table, I read this first and thought, what propaganda? So then I'm walking by the newspaper, and I see a whole page of these in the Sunday's Insight area, a whole page of how, you know, the same thing. He's fixing the Constitution. He's fixing the Bill of Rights. He's fixing America. Folks, if you have these, scan these in and email them to Aaron@Infowars.com because I want to come on the show tomorrow. I'm tempted to go to like Barnes & Noble's or something to a newsstand and just buy like 20 magazines and just show this unified propaganda. But here is the here's the Austin American Statesman. And it's got people crying and worshiping him and everything saved. And they have this editorial cartoon. White House attic. Hey, cool old stuff. And what's the cool old stuff? Government of the people, by the people, for the people. And he's lovingly looking at it. He loves freedom. He loves America. He's going to fix all that. He's not saying a word about it. He's moving ahead with all these police state measures. He's supporting everything, but there's the shot for you watching on the internet. Ben Sargent. I put a Ben Sargent cartoon in my book, 9/11 Descent into Tyranny, where it's Ashcroft arresting Uncle Sam, and he has a Bill of Rights, and he says, "Oh, carrying one of those terrorist manuals, are you?" See, that was inaccurate, because in reality, Ben Sargent lives in town. And I was told by one of his friends, "Oh, yeah, he got that idea from your show." Because I was joking around about terrorist manuals of the pocket constitution. That's actually in my film Road to Tyranny, where, you know, they were listing people that have pocket constitutions as terrorists. So Ben Sargent, local cartoonist, he did that. Well, see, oh, now Ben Sargent does one that's deceptive. Hey, cool old stuff in the White House attic. Government of the people, by the people, for the people. Why? Because the people can be suckered and he can give a better speech and he can con the public. And then it just goes on and on with similar editorials. And so email them to Aaron@Infowars.com. The next few days we'll show you a whole bunch more of them. And then there's just lots of coverage like this fun, 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 post-election, cuddling begins on page 24. And they've got similar things in here and articles with people crying. You know, it's just everything is solved. Everything is fine. And you find these clips all over YouTube from mainstream television with people saying, I never have to worry about my bills again. I have to worry about health care again. I'm saved. My future is great. And optimism is great if it's based on some type of real reform that quantitatively, historically, will actually help the people. But it's not when it's based on fraud, and you know the agenda is continuing, run by the same corporate elites, openly setting up a new world order, and they have no intention of changing it. They're just continuing, but because the person has different rhetoric, everything's okay. Here's another one. Austin American Statesman Monday. Now understand, this is 3 minutes digging around in some newspapers. Because I thought, man, it's in this magazine. Wait, it's in that magazine. Everything I was opening had it. National, local, didn't matter. I opened up a Time magazine. My mom said, don't take that with you. I haven't read it yet. And it had him in there with him fixing the Bill of Rights. Here it is. Passing the torch. This is the sign Wilkinson, Philadelphia Daily News. Passing the torch. And it's the Torch of Liberty. It's just gone out, and Obama is reaching for it, and it says jumbo matches in his hand. There you go for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. I actually have some more here, but look, jumbo matches, and just every magazine, every newspaper, the same thing. He's going to reignite liberty. He's going to fix the Bill of Rights and Constitution. But he's saying nothing about it, and everything he's doing is promising more attacks on individual liberty, the Second Amendment, right to defend yourself, victim disarmament, warrantless wiretapping, more wars, domestic spy forces as strong as the U.S. military. In fact, when he first said this about 6-7 months ago and the Chicago Tribune reported on it, people didn't believe it and they denied it. John, pull that audio clip up about a domestic spy force as strong as the military. Jumbo matches. Put it back up there. He's going to fix it. Everything is solved. Everything is fine. Again, I'm going to go ahead and stop going through these. There are even more. And I am going to make a documentary on Barack Obama. I've decided it. In fact, I'm just going to say now, I'm still going up to Dallas for the anniversary of JFK. I'm making that film with a bunch of people in it, but that is going to be going on the shelf. So is my film on the overall eugenics plan. That's going to be the masterpiece. I'm just going to put out a quick film on Obama because we need something to go viral and go viral now. So send me all your videos of Obama, all your research. We want it all. Send it to 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. And then there's all these type of headlines. I just knocked my stack off here. About Obama to change world, Obama to save world. On and on and on and on and on. Now, I want to go to your phone calls. I want to go to your phone calls, but there's a bunch of other news I haven't gotten to yet, so let me hurriedly go over this. Northcom, to participate in Exercise Vigilant Shield 09, and they're going to do a coordinated practice takeover of the local constabulary in multiple states for 3 simultaneous nukes going off in the United States, November 12th through the 18th. Always got to look at those because they use that as a pretext to carry out real attacks as an overall cover. On the Barack Obama issue, this is the one I was looking for. Barack Obama vows to change the world. Look, he's the one. He's going to change it all. They're saying bin Laden is going to attack. It's not to test him. The CIA may stage another terror attack, or Israel might, or somebody else, to then embolden him and see, we got to get behind him. Now he's got to have another war. He didn't want to, but he has to, because the terrorist hit us again. But let me get into this one. Mainstream news is reporting, the George Washington Blogspot has done a boil down of this, about we must push for a prosecution of Bush and Cheney. That is certainly important. We need to do that. I have a couple other stories here, but I've got so many. I need to be careful about how many I cover, because I won't have time to cover them all. There was another one here out of AFP where the New York Times is reporting that the U.S. ran secret terror attacks inside Iran trying to topple the government. I've been telling you that for 5 years, and the White House admitted it over a year ago. Now the New York Times is breaking it. They'll probably get a Pulitzer Prize or something. Before we do that, before we go back to your phone calls, this is what happens when I go on the air when I got a cold, folks. I'm kind of out of it a little bit today. Before I go to BL in Texas and others that are holding, there's a couple sponsors I want to tell you about that make this broadcast possible. One of them is Ecola Blue, the great atmospheric water generator that I use here in my office. And I just ordered another one for my home. Same thing Willie Nelson basically pushes. And it's got five filters in it. It grabs the water out of the air and then runs through the five filters. Find out more at ecoloblue.com. You really want to check this out, ecoloblue.com or 1-866-585-4044. There's big banners at the top of infowars.com and prisonplanet.com, and I really think you should check it out. Again, ecoloblue.com or 866-585-4044, 1-866-585-4044, ecoloblue.com, atmospheric water generator for your home. You really can't beat it. Another one of our fine sponsors is New Vitality. Their website is newvitality.com. I have a banner up on infowars.com and prisonplanet.com for those folks. And they've got hundreds of just mainline, high-quality herbs and vitamins and minerals that have been well-documented to have nutritive and health effects. You can go to newvitality.com or call 800-569-4056 and ask them for a catalog or brochure. 1-800-569-4056. Some of their products are aloes, colon, and body cleanse. Really good at flushing out and detoxifying. Or super beta prostate for men above 45. Excellent. Super beta prostate, 1-800-569-4056. I certainly hope that you will check that out. I certainly hope that you will give them a call and that you will find out about the line of great products that they have at newvitality.com. We're going to come back with the final segment, and I'm going to dig around here because I had several stories I wanted to cover, and I'm not finding them here, so I'll use this break to find those, and I'll take a few final calls. The key to all this is just the lawlessness of the Denver police admitting that they attacked their own police, to blame it on the citizenry, to give a bad name to protesting, because the agenda is to ban protesting, because the government wants to do really bad things to us and knows that we're going to revolt against it, and they don't want the image of the people not going along with it on TV. Well, the same thing goes with the New York Times admitting that the U.S. government staged all these terror attacks inside Iran for the last 5 years, trying to get Iran to attack us back. I mean, that's a criminal government, folks. We've got a really evil government. And it's not our government. It's just a private corporate management group that does whatever it wants, whenever it wants, however it wants. So, I'm going to dig that out during the break. and go over it. And I'm starting to get desensitized, all these world leaders calling for world government, and then our media never says, oh, Alex Jones was right. All right, it's the final segment. I'm tempted to go into overdrive so I can talk to Chloe and Michelle and Chris and Aaron. BL's next. And I meant to get into this. I mentioned this on the Sunday show, and I never even got to it today. It's actually a CBC documentary, The Disappearing Mail, and it admits that just the chemicals in plastic are deforming and sterilizing men, but they don't tell you that was all done by design. And you notice the EPA is not saying get rid of it. The FDA is not saying get rid of it. This is all by design. And that's the thing. Cops and military and FBI, those that think you're part of the system, you're not. You're being hurt, too. And it's all by design. And I'm sorry if you can't grow up and realize that. But, you know, this is real. This is real. BL in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Thanks to the efforts of Attorney Berg, Dr. Corsi, your organization, Matt Bruce in Florida, so many others, it's coming out and getting some traction in the media that we seem to have elected an illegal alien as president. And that brings up some serious constitutional issues here. And assuming that it gets some traction with the Supremes, I'm just wondering where we go from there. Does that leave us with Bush? Do we have the election over again? That's a crisis.
No, you'd end up with Biden. And, yeah, then they would have some type of special election probably. But I mean, if it came out now before the Electoral College, that's why they have that, is so that the states, people say, well, that bypasses popular vote. No, it's your state legislature, which you also elected as another check and balance. Then the Electoral College would not elect Obama and would put McCain in. The problem is, of course, then the New World Order would still win because he's total globalist.
It's a mess.
But I mean, by getting traction, it is in the news that it isn't just the issue of that his mother didn't live here long enough and did have him out of the country, and that they falsified the birth certificate and won't show the original. It's also the issue of his real name being something else, and now even who his dad is being in question. But that's why the elite chose him. It's because there's so much dirt on Barkey.
Barry Satoro.
Yeah.
Well, I was in Fort Worth on Friday at one of the big ammunition discounters, and I could hardly get anything. Less than 24 hours before, they had gotten $1 million shipment of ammunition, and you couldn't get any. You couldn't get shotgun shells. Yeah, you couldn't get most handgun ammunition, a lot of rifle ammunition. I mean, you can't get it, Alex.
Well, I mean, I had a whole article here today that I never got to. I was kicking myself during the break looking at all this, where it was a mainstream news article listing all the gun control. And by the way, the article's for it, how great it is. And, I mean, he's coming after everything. So, I mean, I guess in a way it's change. Because, like I said, every president we get, it's just going to get worse, regardless of what color they are or what party, because the agenda is just building, BL.
Change only a globalist could love.
Well, I mean, did you ever, I mean, we're living to see them call for world government, and Limbaugh isn't talking about it.
I guess they've printed enough money to buy everybody off.
Yeah, and then they're going to leave us holding the bag with the debt for the money they issued to buy everybody off.
It's the old Chinese curse, Alex. May you live in interesting times.
Well, we do, buddy. I appreciate your call. Good to hear from you. Yeah, all records were broken in the last week for gun sales. Ammo sales. You can go pull that up. It's everywhere. Just every state level, federal record, just gun good. I love it. More weapons, more firearms. Because it's a symbol that we're not gelded. We don't want to go to that, but it's that great final thing when, you know what? Everybody will know the time, but if they bring tyranny far enough, then you know what to do, ladies and gentlemen. 1776. Rebroadcast starts right now at InfoWars.com and on AM and FMs across the country throughout the evening. God bless you all.